This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details. Mark Dolan and Katie Price on FUBAR Radio.
This is FUBAR Radio. It's Tuesday, the 24th of June, 2014. The time is 10 a.m. and you're listening to FUBAR, the UK's largest unregulated ad-free radio network. It's a radio revolution and you are part of it. I'm Mark Dolan and as always, today's show will be news reactive with 3 hours of the biggest stories being talked about around the country and across the globe. We've also got top guests, our live social media centre and our in-studio rolling news feed. So if anything happens on the planet, you will be the first to know. But that, ladies and gentlemen, barely even scratches the surface. Because, as always, on a Tuesday, my co-host is a popular culture icon, the Marilyn Monroe of the 21st century. And by the way, the most famous woman in Britain. Author, singer, horse groomer, professional swearer, model, television presenter, and now queen of the airwaves, Katie Price. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. I hope that was big enough.
It is. It makes me laugh, though.
Because I don't think you... That's not quite accurate, is it? I'm really excited about today's show. We've got a gazillion guests, papers, stories. It's going to be madness. I'm very excited.
What? I'm on top form today. Top form.
I can see it. You're bringing your A game. You've got a twinkle in your eye. This is FUBAR. Mark and Katie, here's a record, and then we get started. Don't go anywhere. Mark Dolan, Katie Price with you on FUBAR Radio right through till 1 o'clock at FUBAR Radio. Give us a tweet and also Dolan at FUBARradio.com. You can also tweet Katie and also me as well. So we've got so much to do, Katie. It's so good to see you. Well done last week. We got amazing feedback from the show. So God bless you.
Thank you. No, I really enjoyed it. Really good.
It was fun. And were you knackered after 3 hours? Because it's a long old time for chatting, isn't it?
Actually, no, because anyone who knows me, I talk and talk and talk anyway. So this is probably a good place for me.
Yeah, it's the perfect, perfect job. A busy old show today because we've got Caroline Millington coming in, assistant editor at Now Magazine. We're going to basically have a showbiz fest after 11.
Excellent. We like that.
Which will be brilliant. And also we're going to talk to a cosmetic surgeon about this new procedure in which you have your toes shortened in order to fit into killer heels.
I know. I saw the pictures like last night, but I have to confess, if there is anything perfect about me, it is my feet.
Really?
And everyone always comments, and that is me bigging myself up. Nobody probably knows this, but my feet are probably the best thing about my body.
Right. They're just perfectly formed, are they?
They're small, smooth, no bunions, no corns. They're just perfect.
Now, this tells me that you had a middle-class childhood, because middle-class kids always have correct shoes that fit them.
Did they say that?
Yeah, and if you come from humble origins, then the toes are always twisted and bent and, as you say, bunions and all of that.
Well, my mum and my sister have got the old bunyips, as I call them. But no, I have got good feet.
Because that is the key thing, is footwear for kids. And I've got two little boys. Yeah. And one of my big guilty pleasures is buying overpriced footwear for them. I just love buying clothes for the kids, and particularly shoes.
Yeah, I'm the same. But unfortunately, my kids are always in their wellies. As soon as they come home, they want to go outdoors. Yeah. But I always think, yeah, good pair of shoes is good.
Do they do hand-me-downs? Do the kids, do you make them wear each other's clothes?
Well, I think it'd be odd if Junior wore Princess's clothes.
Yeah, that would be a story. Never say never, but...
Maybe Jet might wear some of Junior's, but Harvey, no, because he's like a man size.
Yeah, although eventually I suppose Jet will be aspiring to fit into Harvey's stuff eventually, but it's a few
eventually,
years from
but
now.
But then people will probably bring out old pictures and go, oh, look, she's dressing him in hand-me-downs. But so what if you do?
I know. Do you feel, it's curiously enough, obviously, because of what you do for a living, you take a lot of care of your appearance, you look stunning this morning, amazing.
You've
been up since six. But do you feel the pressure to make the kids look smartly dressed as well? Otherwise, you feel judged by that.
This is so weird. I may earn money and stuff, but I hate spending on myself. I'm quite high street myself. But when it comes to the children, I will spend on them. I feel guilty spending it on myself.
Yeah.
But I do on the kids. They've always got nice clothes. I just... Very high street.
My youngest has, because I've got two boys, Arthur and Peter, right, 8 and 5, then there's no good reason to buy new stuff for Pete because they're both boys, obviously.
Right, that's, yeah.
I don't have the princess dilemma there. There's no little girl in the mix. And just, Peter had a tantrum about 6 months ago because he'd received yet another hand-me-down pair of shoes. And they're like really great shoes, barely worn, you know.
Yeah.
But he just had a tantrum. He just said, I just want some new shoes. Because he's basically, he's never had an actual new pair of shoes from a shop. Do you know what I mean?
No, bless him.
Bless him. So I took him to a flagship Clarks and we fixed that problem.
Good old Clarks.
He was so happy and he was so excited about it that he not only did he keep the box, but when he would take the shoes off, they would go back in the box.
Oh, that is so sweet.
At the bottom of the stairs.
How old is he?
5. I mean, he's 38. The child's got, no, he's 5. And he loves it. But, you know, that's the thing. You can't spoil. It's a hard one not to spoil them, isn't it? In fact, that kind of links to one of the stories that's floating about at the moment, which is Sting.
And Stingy Sting, as I'm going to call
Sting,
him.
Exactly. I think that's going to stick because estimates about his fortune, £180 million.
Well, can I say something first about these estimations, okay? How does anyone know? Like, one minute I'm in the rich list, then I'm not, and then they say I've got 80 million, then I've got this million, whatever. Yeah. How does anyone actually know? No one knows what bank accounts I've got.
It's
no
nonsense,
one knows what's
it?
In my bank
Here's
account.
Here's my question.
But I'm sure he has probably got something around that.
Do you even know?
No.
Your personal wealth? Because I'm curious. I think the you know, A-listers don't really know.
Do you know, it's not because I'm arrogant because I don't know, because it's not like every day I'm like, right, let me check what I've got coming in and out. My brother, they know more than me.
Yeah.
But if I'm honest, I actually have no idea. Absolute no idea.
And you're
idea
probably not
got.
Interested. Yes, I don't imagine you sit there online all night just looking at bank accounts. And
I don't. And to be honest, I'm not a big spender. I know they're probably going, you are, but I'm not. But what they've got to remember, my food bill week is probably about £500-600. I don't know if that's normal to anyone else, but there's a lot of people in my house, you know, a lot of mouths to feed. Then you've got your bills. You know, I'm just the same as everyone else.
What do you think you're...
Petrol in the car, that was, what, £113 to get here today?
Really? Yeah, that's quite amazing.
So it'd be there and back and then it'd be empty again.
Yeah. What's your kind of biggest expense, do you think? I mean, you probably have people as well. I mean, obviously, like any performer, you've got an agent and management and all that. We'll take that as a given. But is it quite a well-staffed house?
No, I do the wash. I have a cleaner Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
That's not excessive.
And she comes 3 hours every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So in between, I'll put the washing on. I'm obsessed with washing.
Because people would think that there's just like, you know, just a team of, you know, nannies and
house servants. Not at all. It's such a waste of money. I've been there and done that.
People think it would be like an update of Downton Abbey in your house.
Do you know, I've had all that. I've been there, done that, had the housekeeper, this, that, and they end up being so bloody lazy. Like, you'll catch them in the utility room on their phone, but I'm not the type of person to say, hey, you shouldn't be on your phone, you should be working. I've got a nanny that comes Monday to Friday, special needs nanny to help with halves.
Great.
I don't have a nanny at weekends. But obviously, I need a nanny because the kids go to different schools.
Yeah. But really,
that's probably my main expense is just that nanny, 7 till 7, Monday to Friday.
So what about Sting then and his kids? So whatever he's worth is worth a few bob, but he's determined not to ruin the kids by giving them a load of cash.
Which I do agree with, because I'm the same with my kids. You've got to make them appreciate what money is.
Yeah.
In a way. But I always say to Junior, money doesn't grow on trees. He goes, yes, it does. That's where paper comes from and stuff. I'm such a smart ass.
Yeah.
But no, I think it's important not to give them everything they want. They have to go to work to know the value of money. I think that is important. But, you know, surely he's got to leave them something. Even I've got, like, trust funds and that for my kids. So if I pop off, they're sorted.
Yeah, I always think maybe the way to do it, and we were talking about it a bit on yesterday's show, is that you perhaps set them up with them. So let's say, I don't know, once Jet is, I don't know, 20 or something, or 25, and he says, look, I've got this business idea and here's my plan and I just need a little bit of help to get it going. I think it's things like that where you support your kids to do what they want to do might be the thing.
But
and
not
to
like
give them the means.
Mind
but
you,
not,
I'll probably buy them a car and stuff, you know, because most parents would help towards that anyway. But not silly things like extravagant holidays and going out with your mates. If they want to go and waste money on alcohol, they can go and earn that money to waste.
Yeah. Do you think would it be too much if Sting bought like a house for each of his kids? Would that be excessive, do you think?
Or, well, I don't know what it would be like when my kids are older, the mortgages and stuff. I don't really know about it all these days. Mm. But, you know, I'd like to help them set up, you know, but I don't know what the arrangements would be in the years to come when they have to buy a house, you know, because sometimes you could buy a house where you don't have to put a deposit down or...
Yeah.
Would help, but, you know, but they'd still have to help as well. They can't just rely. Not because I'm tight or anything. I just think it's important for them to learn the value and And also, I think if you're given it on a plate, you don't appreciate it. Like with me, I've come from nothing, and everything I've got, I can look at and say, I did that, I made that. You know, even when I buy shopping each week, like £500-600, I have to earn, what, about £1,500 to pay for that? Because after tax, VAT, blah, blah. So if you think of it like that, you know.
Yeah, it definitely adds up. I mean, I think one of the things I'm struggling with at the moment with my two is to get them already. Because I think you want your children to be as hungry as you were. Because you were hungry, weren't you?
Yeah, well, I was more determined.
You wanted it so much. And you, in a way, the challenge is to make your children hungry. And I think it's not even to do with being a celebrity like yourself. I think that this generation of youngsters are generally not very hungry. I mean, not literally hungry, but also that desire, that burning desire
pocket
to go and achieve things.
Pocket money's good. I give mine pocket money.
Yeah.
Even though Junior always massages my back. He's like, where's my pocket money? I'm like, don't worry, Junior. I'll give it to you. Don't worry. But no, I think they like it because then they get their little wallet, put their little coins in or whatever.
Yeah, learn about sort of saving money and stuff. But I think that's what the main thing you want your kids to, is, in terms of the future, is you want them to have that hunger, that desire to work hard, because you've got the work ethic, haven't you? And you just want them to have that.
I have, but not everyone has it, do they? I think you're either driven or you're not. I personally don't understand why people want to lay in bed all day and not do something with their life. Yeah. And I think the more you lay in bed and sleep, the more depressed you get. And then you haven't got enough to do something. There's always something some could do. Okay, you might not like the job, but at least get out and do something.
Yeah, for sure. Brilliant. Well, look, so many stories to get through at Fubar Radio. The tweets and emails are pouring in. We'll get to those after our next record. We're going to talk about Madonna's new Toy Boy next and much, much more on Fubar Radio. Mark Dolan and Katie Price. Here are the Black Keys' Little Black Submarines.
Mark Dolan and Katie Price on Fubar Radio.
It's Fubar Radio, Mark Dolan and Katie Price with you right through till 1 o'clock on Fubar. Let's take a look at some of the tweets and emails. Someone just sent you a picture of a heart, and it's Jane66, which is pretty nice.
Oh, thank you, Jane.
That's a little, I'm going to make
I'm
sure you can
on
see
my
the tweets there.
Yeah,
you know, I promised you. Now, the thing, we've got to sort out the snacks on this show, haven't we? Because
I know.
3 hours is a long time. And we promised to bring something healthy in, and I've come back just with a bag load of baked goods. The pain au chocolat, or the chocolate croissant.
Well, I've got
croissant.
The blueberries and the raspberries next to me, and the chocolate croissant, so I've gone for the croissant.
Well done, you. Emma Atkins, Atkins86 has said, can't wait for the show, which is brilliant. Morning, Katie, just installed the app, says Jill, J-I-P-Y-E. Thank you, Jill. Chanel says, gonna download the app for Fubar Radio to listen to my fave Katie Price. Rachna Bagani.
Oh, yeah, I know Rachna.
I'm sorry, Rachna, if I mispronounced. Not
Hi,
long
Rachna.
Out till Katie Price is on
and
Fubar Radio.
And I do
Radio.
Read your DMs.
Really? How about that? That's nice. Lady Ang, Fubar Radio, Katie Price, would appreciate a get well soon message, Katie. My son, Denon, who's just out of hospital for a second time.
Oh, I know what it's like in and out of hospital.
Yeah, we
children.
Send our very best wishes to your little angel, Denon, and a speedy recovery. I hope he's okay. Nathan,
well, Nathan
Thursfield.
Of course Nathan
you've
would
got
be here.
Nice feet. Now, we've been discussing your feet. Nice. I think we've missed a trick. Producer Talia, have you got the iPad on you?
I do, yeah.
How does Katie feel about having your feet photographed this morning? We tweet it out and just show the world her. But normally, you see, that would be like a six-figure sum to get a picture of your feet.
No, that's all in cuckoo land, that is.
Really?
You can picture my princess pretty feet.
All right, we'll do that. We'll do that during the next record then. And also, so Nathan has said you've got nice feet. Gareth McDonough says, yay, Katie Price on Fubar
Gareth.
Radio. She speaks so much sense. Met her in Bristol. She really is down to earth, not like other celebrities.
And I get your messages as well, Gareth.
And Nathan has said, you're right, kids should earn their money, not just expect. Now, I've got a really murky, strange story for you in the Mail Online, which is shocking, which is a physiotherapist massaged a woman until she reached sexual climax, but police persuaded her not to press charges because giving evidence would be too stressful. Woman, unnamed for legal reasons, says she was touched in hospital. She claims Mark Jones, 41, touched a pubic area and made her orgasm. He allegedly then told the patient, now you really are relaxed.
Has he got magic hands?
Because you're thinking,
if someone just
available?
Touched me,
can he see
and
me
I
on?
Came, it's like, bloody hell, bring him my way.
I know, is he free? Or can he do Thursday at one?
Oh my God.
This dude's never been busier. She allegedly went to police and was it was heard there were other complaints. But she was warned about the effects of going to court, which dissuaded her. Claims came to light in a tribunal hearing over treatment at a community hospital in South Wales. It seemed like, I don't know, a lot of stuff's being alleged here. But what's a strange story is that she has admitted that in the process of some kind of massage treatment, which was like it was obviously a medical treatment.
Yeah.
She wasn't just in a salon somewhere. It was in a hospital.
Yeah.
But she was being massaged. And it's alleged that this guy has given her quite an intimate massage.
Right.
She hasn't stopped him.
Right.
Perhaps because a lot of people, victims of an assault, will tell you that sometimes you just freeze in horror, which I think it's worth bearing that in mind. But anyway, she has actually admitted that she did orgasm.
Right.
And then she went to the authorities. It's a weird one, isn't it?
Well, the thing is, you can't ever take the mickey or the piss out of someone who's, complained about some kind of sexual abuse or something.
Yeah.
But I find it hard that, literally hard, I'm a woman, so that don't happen. But that if someone's going to massage, I have massage all the time. If they're near the groin area, it does make you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But for the fact to her to have got an orgasm, it must have been stimulating it enough. So surely she would have sort of like wiggled a bit, sort of hint if she didn't want to say it, sort of wiggle a bit to say, oh no, I'm uncomfortable. Or I don't know, I'm not in her situation, but I've never ever even had an experience where I felt horny having a massage.
No.
And no happy endings.
No happy endings whatsoever. But I know, I mean, look.
Unless it's from your partner.
This is a delicate story because I've got every single sympathy. And if it's true of what happened, it's absolutely reprehensible. But what's odd about it, producer Talia, it's that grey area that she has actually sort of come to orgasm and then is complaining. I don't know if this is just I've got a blind spot about this one.
I don't know if she should have gone and complained, really. I'm not sure. Because I feel like she should have stopped.
Well, here's the question is if you climax, does that imply consent? In a sense, that's the question, isn't it? Is it?
Well, it is, it's like you say, a grey area. It's kind of like rape, really, isn't it?
It is. So there you go. Wow. I tell you what, dealing with all the big subjects on a Tuesday morning. And the other one is Madonna. So now, Madonna's got a new boyfriend who is in his early 20s. He's a dancer.
26.
He looks 26. There you go. And he looks good. And I think this is the third boyfriend in a row who's been in his 20s. No problem with that. I think it's actually quite ageist the way that the papers will look at that story and go, oh, look how old she is and look at the age gap.
Exactly.
It's not nice, is it?
Think of Madonna. She can have anyone she wants. So she'd rather have like a 20-odd-year-old bouncing on her rather than a 55-year-old who's probably going to groan when he puts his socks on.
She'll
probably have more of an athletic, energetic, sexual, kind of sex. Unless there's any 55-year-olds out there who dispute this and think they can still keep up in the sack, then, write in, tweet in.
Yeah. I mean,
but that's always what puts me off about older men.
Yeah.
Would they be that energetic and keep it up in the bedroom?
Yeah, that's an important point, isn't it?
How old are you, Mark?
I'm 40, so it's...
Oh, you've got a long
way
to go.
I'm on the slippery slope already. It's downhill from here, my poor missus. But you know what? I know that's the thing. Do you think in some ways... Because I've always thought that you're a bit of a feminist role model, feminist icon. I do think that.
I don't try and be it, by the way.
But just with your accomplishments and your drive and your achievements, I think that it's amazing what you've done. And therefore, I just wonder whether the sign that you are victorious as a woman and that you don't need a man in your life. You've never needed a man, have you? You've done it all off your own back.
This is the trouble.
You've never had a sugar daddy who's been like, here, princess,
no.
I'll pay this bill for you.
Never, never. But it's the same with me. I seem to always go for younger guys. I think the oldest guy I've been with is Pete. Oh, no, Dwight. I think he's 43.
Yeah.
But I wasn't really with him.
And he wasn't 43 when you were dating,
no.
was he?
So I've always gone for the younger guys. I've actually never, ever dated an older guy.
Yeah.
Maybe they would treat me different. I don't know. I've never been there, so...
But you've obviously been always attracted to a younger guy for those reasons about keeping it up and things like that. The physique?
Well, I just think, I don't know, because I'm quite young for my age... you know, I'm quite, you know, you get some people who are quite mature for that. I could be mature when I need to be, but I'm still fun and I love doing fun. I'm quite young at heart, basically. So I suppose that's why I attract the younger guys as well.
Yeah.
But as it comes for money, yes, I think, because I am independent, some guys might not like it because they can't buy me, basically.
Yeah,
and I,
yeah.
No, take my job out of the equation. If I'm a 36-year-old with 5 kids, been married 3 times, does that really look good on a CV? No, it doesn't. But yeah. The flip side is, yeah, I may have been married 3 times, 5 kids, but I can also look after it all and I don't rely on anyone else, so...
Well, maybe the thing is, if you, like Madonna, as she said, she can have anyone she likes. She's a very successful lady. So she just wants to go for the fittest, most attractive man possible.
Imagine what rules, though. I reckon she must give him rules and sign everything. And yeah. She must do. Because like, none of them have done stories or anything.
Nah, nothing. A lot of time spent with lawyers and prenups and all that. So even before, if they don't get married, confidentiality.
Yeah. I bet.
Yeah. And also just rules in the house about... You know, shoes off when you get, you know, I mean, I bet she's really fussy about carpets.
I reckon. But you'd be shaking in your boots to get in bed with her, wouldn't you? I reckon.
God, it would be terrifying. But is it a thing where you just go for the most attractive person? And in a way, up till now, you look at men who are successful and they've always got some dolly bird, haven't they? Some
always,
young,
or an
skinny.
Escort or
yeah, they're never with a mature lady in her 60s. Then that seems never to be the choice they make.
That's true. But there are some happy married people that they've been together for years.
But they never choose, like a guy who's successful will never fall in love with a 68-year-old woman.
They always go for
woman,
younger, you're right.
Don't they? And so maybe it's all it is equality, that should be a woman's choice, and Madonna's got that choice. And she's taken it. The only thing is, do you think there are any issues with the age gap? Because she is in her 50s now.
Conversations, I would say.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. It's like, what would someone in their 20s have in common with a 55-year-old? Yeah. You know, she's lived life experiences. I don't know, sometimes conversations, like, you know, if you talk to someone younger, you can tell they're quite immature and stuff. I couldn't be with someone if they're quite immature. I know. No, I'm not that most intelligent person, but... I do like a good conversation.
And also maybe even things like TV taste. Like she might get into that point now in her 50s that she quite enjoys the Antiques Roadshow.
Yes.
Because it's very compelling, isn't
actually,
it?
Actually, I like that show.
This woman says, you know, I found this plate in the attic. It's a very gripping television. And maybe a young man who's doing his abs and he's out this and that and the
other.
He's not going to be interested in it. Or, you know what I mean? Downton Abbey box set. So then maybe that, and also references, like she'll be like, oh, I love that Thin Lizzy song. And he's like, who's Thin Lizzy?
Do you know, I had this the other day. You know, Rick Mao, obviously, sadly, he died.
Yeah.
And Kieran was around the house and I was there with my brother because I put it in my column.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, yeah, my brother used to make me watch The Young Ones all the time. And he said, what's that? And I said, Kieran said, what's that? Yeah. I said, oh, The Young Ones. It's what he, you know, where he started off in. He said, oh, I've never heard of it. And that's like an example to show the age difference. I said, what, do you don't know the song Living Doll? He said, no. I was like, oh, right.
Yeah, it happens. It's an age gap, but it's worth it just to have those abs, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? In your
do
life.
You know, to be honest, if I'm in love with a man, it doesn't bother me if they got abs or whatever. Because I like... the mental stimulation. Yeah, it's nice if they look good. Of course it is.
Is it
I
not
like
number one for you, though? Is it not number one? Because if I look at your back catalogue...
You would think it. Do you know what I actually like about a man? Forearms, the back of the neck, hands, teeth, and I like them to smell good.
Okay. Well, that's not bad, is it? That's within reason.
And I do like
never,
sides
But I've never
well.
Seen you pictured alongside a minger.
Oh, there have been.
Really?
Look at Dwight York, please. Please. Sorry, but that's so true.
Yeah, I think he was a very good footballer.
I had my
let's just put it
Coke
that way.
Goggles on.
He was a very good goal scorer. Let's focus on that.
Well, he didn't score well with me, did he?
Katie Price, Mark Dolan on FUBAR Radio, at FUBAR Radio, Dolan at FUBARradio.com. Lots of tweets and emails to get through. We're going to find out about how you can avoid being tired by tricking your body clock, and big-breasted women can't exercise because their boobs get in the way. A new study claims. Got authoritative views on that. Let's have a record in the meantime. Love Never Felt So Good, Michael Jackson and Justin Timberlake on FUBAR.
And I'd die if it ever could. Not like you hold me, oh baby. Love never felt so fine. And I'd die if it's ever mine.
not like you. Hold me, and the night is gonna be just fine. Gotta fly, gotta see, gotta be. I can't take it, cause baby, every time I love you, in our life, in our baby, tell me if you really love me. It's in our life, in our baby, so baby, cause love never felt so good. Oh, baby. Love never felt so fine. And I die, it's ever mine. Not like you hold me. Hold me, oh baby. Love never felt so good. And I die, it's ever good. Not like you hold me. Hold me. And the night can't believe I can take it, cause baby, every time I love you, it's in our life, in our baby, tell me if you really love me. It's in our life, driving me crazy, baby, that never felt so good. Oh, oh baby, love never felt so fine. And I die, find all mine. Not like you hold me. Hold me, oh baby. Love never felt so good.
So good.
And I die, if it ever could. Not like you hold me. Hold me. And the nights that is good. Can't believe I can take it, cause baby, every time I love you, it's in our life, in our baby, tell me if you really love me. It's in our life, driving me crazy, cause baby, love never felt so good.
So
oh, we never felt so good. So love, it never felt so good.
Never felt so good.
Yeah, yeah, it never felt so good.
You were good.
Never felt so good.
All right, that's fine.
Mark Dolan and Katie Price on FUBAR Radio.
More from Mark and Katie after this on FUBAR.
First things first, I'm the realest.
Realest.
Drop this and let the whole world feel it.
Let them feel it.
And I'm still in the murder business. I can hold you down like I'm giving lessons in physics.
Right, right.
You should want a bad bitch like this.
Huh?
Drop it low and pick it up just like this.
Yeah.
Cup of Ace, cup of Goose, cup of Chris. I heal something worth a half a ticket on my wrist.
Back. On my wrist.
Taking all the liquor straight. Never chase that.
Never.
Stop like we bring an 88 back.
What?
Bring the hooks in where the bass at. Champagne spilling, you should taste that.
I'm so fancy. You already know I'm in the fast lane. From LA to Tokyo. I'm so fancy. Can't you taste this gold? Remember my name. Hope to blow.
I said, baby, I do this. I thought that you knew this. Can't stand no haters. And honest, the truth is that my flow retarded. HB did departed. Swagger on stupid. I can't shop in no department. I get my money on time. If they got money, decline. I swear I meant that day so much to get that line and rewind. To get my money on time. If they got money, decline. I just can't worry about no haters. Gotta stay on my grind. Now tell me who that, who that. They do that, do that. Put that paper over all. I thought you knew that, knew that. I'll be the I, G-G-Y. Put my name in ball. I've been working. I'm up in here with some change to throw.
I'm so fancy. You already know I'm in the fast lane. From LA to Tokyo, I'm so fancy. Can't you taste this gold? Remember my name. Hope to blow. Trash the hotel. Let's get drunk on the minibar. Make the phone call. Feel so good getting what I want. Yeah, keep on turning it up. Chandelier swinging, we don't give a fuck. Velvet
stunt, how you love that? Got the whole world asking how I does that. Hot girl, hands off, don't touch that. Look at it, I bet you wishing you could clutch that. That's just the way you like it, huh? Ain't so good, he just wishing he could bite it, huh? Never turn down nothing. Slaying these hoes, go trigger on a gun like
so fancy.
Mark and Katie on FUBAR Radio.
It is Mark and Katie on FUBAR Radio at exactly 10:41. Katie Price, energy, it seems to be a big thing with you because I'm interested in this story which I found online. Always worn out, question mark. How to trick your body clock so you can feel alert all day. Are you a night owl, asks the male online, who has to get up at the crack of dawn for work, leaving you constantly sleep deprived or stressed, or a natural lark who works evenings and nights? An out of sync body clock can raise your risk of cancer, heart disease, type 2 diabetes and lead to weight gain, according to new research. It was reported last month that women who sleep in bedrooms with more light were more likely to be obese, possibly because bright light at night confuses the body clock. Leading sleep scientists have warned the demands of our increasingly 24-hour society mean we're overriding our body clocks. It is very important, don't you think? It's like one of the number one things in terms of your health is to sort out your sleep and getting enough sleep and not being tired. That is my main focus as a human being.
I am
is to
exactly
not be tired.
The same. How many hours a night would you like?
Yeah,
and
do you know
get?
What? Can I be honest with you? I could do 9.
Yes, you know, I could.
I could.
Then sometimes if you have too much sleep, you're too tired. But last night I had 6 hours. And then when you're tired in the day, I always say to myself, right, that's it. I'm going to go to bed early, watch telly. And then once you're in bed and you're watching telly, then something else comes on. And before you know it, it's midnight again or 11 o'clock, you know.
I think so. And I think the telly is fatal because I think what a lot of the research is showing now is that if you're looking at a bright screen, so if you're on your iPad or if you're watching telly in bed, you then go to sleep. It's, you've kind of woken up your body by looking at the bright screen,
stimulate
apparently.
Your brain again.
Yeah. And that actually, the best thing would be to not have telly after about 9. But the problem is, I know you're addicted to Big Brother.
That starts at 10, hence why I was in bed at, 11, 12. So I watched that last night. But also, I'm the kind of person, I like the room black, like dark.
Yeah, yeah. So
I have
got
a window
blackout
open.
Blackout curtains and all that business?
Yeah, well, the side of it comes out, so I have to sort of plonk it with something because I don't like any gaps in. I like a big duvet. I like to be all snuggled.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, so I like it really dark and quiet.
See, I think you've done, because I've read a lot about the kind of what the sleep doctors do to help people sleep. And the first thing they say is sort out the bedroom to make it comfortable, make it dark, have a great bed. I'll tell you what I've got, which is amazing, is a Tempur mattress. Do you know about them?
Oh, I've had one of them.
Very
nice. They are nice.
It's basically a kind of foam thing. It's a memory foam thing, but your body just sinks into it and you never get out of bed.
You can get the pillows as well. I've tried the pillows, but I find them a bit too hard.
They are.
Them a bit more soft.
Yes, they're a bit too thick as well.
Yes.
But the mattresses are unbelievable. The only thing, though, a little toasty in the summer.
Yes.
They bounce, your body heat bounces back on you and it's like a Turkish sauna, which
and
is not
also,
ideal.
And also, they say don't have your phone on because apparently the flashing of your phone does something to your brain. I mean, we could talk all day about little things that can put you off sleeping. But as you know, when you've got kids...
Yeah.
You pray to have a good night's sleep without being woken up.
Massively. I think it's the hardest thing about parenthood is sleep deprivation.
And I always say that to people that who are due to have babies. I always say, make sure you enjoy your sleep now.
Yeah.
And they never believe you until it happens. And the worst thing about mums who've just had babies is they're so tired, or if they're breastfeeding.
I know.
And I always say it's good to breastfeed, but if you can at least put it in a bottle, at least your other half can help.
Yeah, we bought one of those hand pump
expresses
things.
Yeah. Some women can't do
that.
Well,
we bought it, was a complete waste of time, and I went online and I bought a special hospital grade pump. I mean, it was basically like my poor good lady wife. It was like a dairy farm in the bedroom. Do you know what I mean? It's like stuff is going through pipes, and it was not, you know, it's a very unsophisticated machine, but my God, it did the job. an industrial milking machine.
Blimey.
But we did that. The expressing was very good. But it's the hardest thing about parenting is that's why I've got to ask you how, because I'm very curious, because we got two and I mean, just incredible. We love the boys so much. We're quite happy. We're like, okay, it's a bit like a game show where they say, okay, Jim, we've had a good day. We'll take the money. Do you know what I mean? We're not going to play for the speedboat. Whereas you've got several speedboats, right?
But do you know what? I know people think I'm mad. Obviously, Harvey, he's a different kettle of fish anyway, because, you know, he wears his nappies at night and still wets the bed, and he's got his complex needs. So he's not like a normal 12-year-old.
Yeah.
He's quite childish, behaviour problems. Then you've got Junior and Princess constantly winding each other up. So I'm like, kids, please leave her alone or leave him alone. Then you've got Jet now crawling around. It's just all happening. Then I've got another one. But I think I just love the chaos. I must love it.
Yeah.
Because obviously want more.
And you do like babies. Because I mean,
love babies. Yeah. I think I just love loving people, loving the children.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I do think it's nice to have a routine. You know, at night time, they're always like, yes, mum. Because I'm like, come on, bath time. And they're like, do we have to wash our hair? Yes, you do. Because they moan about it. Then afterwards,
are
they feel
strict?
Clean.
Are you strict?
When
is there like good Katie
hygiene.
And bad Katie? Because I've got a kind of pretend angry voice for the kids, which I'm not angry about. But I'm like, you get off to bed now.
I do that. I never smack them or anything.
No.
And I just say it once or twice nicely. And then I'm like, right, get up them stairs. Yes, mum. And I'm like, well, why do I have to ask you three times?
Yeah.
If you want me to say it nicely without shouting, then listen to me the first time. But they never do. They're so lippy as well.
Are they not? They're not scared of you? Because, I mean, we're all scared of you. So
I'm not scary at all.
I've been here, so I've been drinking coffee since 7 a.m. just so you don't completely roll me over.
They say I'm too soft, actually, but then they know when I mean it. I'm quite an easygoing parent, I suppose.
Yeah, and the latest thing now, we've got four children and then another one on the way, and peacocks as well, I'm told. This is an exclusive on FUBAR.
Yesterday,
you've been buying birds.
Well, the thing is, for Princess, because she loves the outdoors, absolutely loves it, and we've already got 40 chickens, 20 ducks, and they're laying on more eggs.
Whoa.
We've got two turkeys. So we just bought a male turkey yesterday, the most ugliest thing, but it's ugly but gorgeous, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Then they had these baby peacocks, and I'm like, oh, I have to get one. And they said, oh, well, we'll do you a deal if you want to take all four. I said, oh, yeah, I'll have all four then. So now I've got four peacocks. But I only went to go to get Princess a baby goat. And they've obviously got a brother and sister. So I'm like, okay, I'll have the brother and the sister. So I'm getting Junior one and Princess. They're at school, so they don't know what I'm saying. But after school tonight,
well,
I'm going to take them
goats
there.
As well.
We can't take them home yet because they're too young, but they're going to bottle feed them, and in a few weeks we can bring them home.
It's unbelievable. And all of these animals are on site, are they?
They are all on site, as well as the horses, the four dogs. I wake up to cockerels like cooing away and cockadoodly doing whatever they do.
I actually probably live
on a farm, and people don't believe me.
I think there's a new reality show coming at Katie Price's Animal Shelter.
But it really is like that. We get fresh eggs. We get about 18 to 20 eggs a day.
Yeah.
But I'm not even joking. It really is like that. The kids love it, though.
It's unbelievable. And this whole love of nature and animals and your love of horses and all that, that just comes from having grown up in the countryside, I guess, as a kid.
I've always been into horses. None of my friends were into horses. Only one of my friends now, Louisa, she's into horses. She's actually got me into show jumping.
Yeah.
But I've just always loved it, loved the outdoors. I was a bit of a tomboy.
Yeah.
And I think once it's in you, you can't take it out of you.
Of course it can't. Absolutely. All right, listen to me talking away. You're so right. At FUBAR Radio, dolanatfubarradio.com. Give us a shout or get through the tweets and emails after this. This is a record by The Killers. All these things that I've done on FUBAR.
Mark Dolan and Katie Price on FUBAR Radio.
That was The Killers on FUBAR Radio at 10:52. We've got lots of tweets and emails coming in on the show at FUBAR Radio. We've got Olivia, Sarah Daniels, who says, I was unemployed three times for 3 years, but I have to do a job to earn money. I love my job at Asda. We're talking about kind of the work ethic and just getting out there and doing something. It's true, Katie. I would rather be stacking shelves in a supermarket than stuck indoors watching Jeremy Kyle and feeling sorry for myself.
Mind you, I do love a bit of Jeremy Kyle because he's helped me out the past month with these lie detectors.
But, oh, of course he has. Also, Bilal Safar says, which political party does Katie support, please? I think you're not going to tell us that, are you?
Well, no, I said to you actually off air, I'm not into politics or religion. That's an area I always stay away from because you can never win.
I know. Do you vote?
I don't.
No. Will you be voting at the next election?
I've never voted.
Right. Is there a reason for that?
I know I shouldn't have this attitude. It's like if you do the lottery, what would my vote do? Will it really make a difference?
Mm.
It's like if you do the lottery, is my ticket really going to win?
I wonder whether... I've got a theory, producer Talia, which is I think that perhaps, Katie, as she matures and gets older, that you may suddenly develop more of an interest in what's going on in the world and then you may become political.
Although
and you can
I
use
did.
Your platform. Because let's be honest with you. If you were kind of like, if you said, OK, I'm going to vote Labour or I'm going to vote Tory, that would be a big PR coup for them. The Sun would probably be front page news.
Well, I did stand for Streatham and Urmston years ago. The Daily Star did it where they elected me to, you know, be up for, I don't even know what they called it now, to stand as an
parliamentary,
MP or something
parliamentary
like that.
Candidate, yeah.
Because I was known as Jordan... Everyone wrote my name as Jordan, but if they knew my real name then as Katie Price, I would have actually won that.
Really?
Which is really weird.
And the
yeah.
world would be a very, very different place. What a lovely
yes.
thought.
I love that.
Prime Minister
Yeah, if
Price.
You Google it, you'll see it, definitely.
Prime Minister Katie Price. She could sort out the Middle East, couldn't she?
No, do you know what Italia? I would do? One yes. thing on my list that I would do if I was in government is, right, in the summer holidays... When you've got kids that are able to do things, there's loads of things. When you've got a child with disability, for example, if you want to go to Alton Towers, Thorpe Park or Chessington, what is there for disabled kids or adults? There's no rides for wheelchairs. You have wheelchair access. But I wish they would like put on some kind of theme park on the side that stimulates them, you know, their brain and stuff, not in that way. And like rides where wheelchairs can go on,
yes,
you know, something, because
so
they're always
unfair.
Left out.
It's a really,
that
really
would be
good point.
Something I would
See,
love to do.
This is my theory, that there is a the political outlook within you, and I'm sure it will emerge
and
as time goes
by. And I have looked into it, and obviously it's millions and millions, but if the government could get behind it, I would so love to do that. Set up a theme park
yeah.
where families with able children and unable children can all go and enjoy the day.
What a brilliant idea. Amen to that. Well, look, if you're going to go into politics, you've got to have great hair, because every political career has involved the politician in question having a brilliant barnet. Margaret Thatcher, 90% of her whole career was because of that hair, which never changed. You've got to nail it. And we're going to speak now to an absolute expert on hair, because there's a story in the paper today. Could burning split ends be better than a haircut? There's a hot new Brazilian trend. Last week, a Brazilian supermodel, Barbara Fiallo, revealed the very unusual secret of her glossy locks. She burns her hair to keep it healthy. It's called Velaterapia. It's a process where an open flame, usually a candle, is used to single off and cauterize split ends, opening up the follicles to make hair more receptive to conditioning, all without taking anything off the length. I'm intrigued by this. On the line is hairdresser to the stars, creative director at Edward Scissorhands in London's posh Highgate. Edward, welcome to FUBAR. Great to have you on the show again.
Hi. Thanks for having me back.
What do you think about it? Have you even heard about this bizarre process before?
Yeah, I have, and I've been doing my research on it. And to be honest, call me old-fashioned, but I think a good haircut, a good shampoo and condition, and generally looking after your hair is far better to manage split ends.
Yeah.
I've seen the way they use the flame, and it looks very dangerous to me. And we all know what... happens when we put a naked flame to hair products, especially hairspray. To me, I think it's a fad. I think there's only one way to boil an egg, and that's good old-fashioned hair scissors and good shampoo and conditioner.
Well, Katie.
Yeah, I was going to say, obviously, being a girl, men always seem to... Hi, by the way, so I wasn't just getting
Hi, Katie,
in there.
Adrian,
hi,
I'd
I'm
love
good,
to have
thanks.
You in the shop, by the way.
Yeah, do you know, I could do with a good bloody blow dry as well.
Yeah,
I look like
down.
A bird's nest this morning. with hair, like, men are always obviously in and out the barbers or whatever. How
yeah.
often should a woman have their hair trimmed, for one?
I I recommend my clients, and they all come to me every 6 to 8 weeks.
Okay. And yeah. This Brazilian blow dry, obviously my hair is naturally really, really curly. So yeah. It's a nightmare for me, especially if I go on in hot climates on holiday and stuff.
Yeah, of course.
Do you think they really work, and are they good for your hair, or are they damaging?
The Brazilian treatment we used is the original Brazilian nanokeratin system. And for the right hair type, Katie, it works wonders. I mean, my mum absolutely loves it. But what it is, it's not a hair straightener. It defrizzes hair.
And if you explain to people...
If your hair is past point of help, which some people's, to be honest, is, then it's not really going to work. But always come in and have a consultation first, and I'll be able to tell you within 5 seconds whether it's going to work for you. But you must use the original Brazilian nanokeratin.
And what does that involve for people listening?
Okay, it involves a 3-hour visit to the hair salon, and it's just a very simple process of applying the product, washing it in, washing it out. There's a special shampoo I wash in first, and you can't wash your hair for 4 days after. But, you know, for the right person, it can be great. But going back to that hair burning thing, I just think, you know, the World Cup's on. I think it's funny that Brazil suddenly come out with this new treatment.
Of course.
Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
I think flames and hair, I don't think are a good mix.
But are they trying to say it's good for your hair, or it just gives it a different look?
Just walked in. Sorry, can you say that again, Katie?
Yeah, no problem. It's live. This is what happens. When they use this candle flame thing,
yeah,
what's it supposed to do? Just give it like a different layered effect? And
yeah, it's supposed to neutralise the split ends and open up the follicle so your hair is better for conditioning. I think that's all very well and good.
They must have had accidents where they've held
a
long strand and it's burned half your hair.
How many people have lost their head and hair, you know, for it to actually work? And I just think it's dangerous.
Yeah, I do. You can't beat scissors and a blade.
I just said, do you know
what? Yeah, a blade. Old school.
Credit.
Oh, well, there we go. I'm on the radio. Thing is, Edward, credit to the Brazilians, because they always do go up a level when it comes to your body and your appearance, don't they? Because
I
made a documentary about plastic surgery in Brazil, and there's places in the world, in America, there's certain procedures you can't have. In Brazil, you can have anything you want.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can go to your plastic surgeon and he'll turn you into a horse. I mean, it's just no problem at all. And so it doesn't surprise me that the Brazilians are risking burning their hair off and, you know, scalping themselves just to look good.
Because
they do go...
At any cost.
Yeah. At any cost. But you're not going to be doing it up in Highgate anytime soon.
No. Not unless there's suddenly a real demand for it. And I'll say do you know what? I'm actually going to say I'm never going to do that.
Good.
I'm going to stick to scissors and a good shampoo, a good condition. Like Katie said, a Brazilian blow-dry treatment can really sort split ends out. And
you've sold it to me, so it looks like you might have to have your hands all over my head massaging me.
I would love that, Katie.
On my head.
Please come to my shop.
Well, that's it. You could do a lot worse. Edward Scissorhands, creative director Edward Chima. Thanks, Edward, and have a great day. I know you're busy.
Lovely.
We'll see you soon.
Cheers, guys. Enjoy the sun.
Thanks.
Bye.
There we go. Edward Chima, creative director at Edward Scissorhands. We're going to play another record now, and very shortly, associate editor of the...
Assistant editor.
The assistant. I've upgraded her of the Now magazine. I can't wait. We're going to have a showbiz love-in for the next hour on FUBAR Radio, and also more of your tweets and emails at FUBAR Radio. Let's have a record in the meantime. There you go. Florence and the Machine. Dog days are over on FUBAR Radio at 11:10. Mark Dolan and Katie Price with you right through until 1 o'clock today. Every Tuesday, Katie Price is with us on FUBAR. FUBAR Radio, the home of Katie Price. Katie Price, who just had a tiny nibble on a raisin Danish, and well-deserved, because you've been going since 6 a.m. this morning.
It's not that. It's you're plonking them all in front of
me,
saying
eat
them, and you're not eating them.
No, I'm a feeder. That's what I'm trying to chub you up. A little bit. But I think that when you are expecting a baby, you're within your rights to chow down. That's the whole point.
I don't know. Every pregnancy's different. Oh, look, I swallowed it now. I've been quite good with this one, actually.
Yeah. You're very... I mean, that's the thing. Your physique is very slim, and then there's just a bump in the middle.
Whereas with Jet, 4 stone.
Really?
It's crazy. I think I'm carrying this time like how I did with Harvey in the beginning. I'm definitely going to snap back.
Was it a struggle to get it off?
Well, I didn't. I obviously got pregnant again, didn't I?
So you didn't really have time to...
About 3 or 4 months later, yeah.
Because actually, funny you should mention that, Tamara Eccleston is in the paper today.
I saw pictures of her, yes, on Daily Mail.
Now, she's a very, very pretty lady. She's also an heiress to a billionaire's fortune. So yeah. She's wealthy and beautiful and, you know... Probably a nice person as well. However, the big shock is how skinny she is. She just had a baby and her stomach's gone like a washboard, completely flat. Do you think, credit to her that she obviously does a lot of exercise and
but
all the rest of it.
She looked brilliant even when she was pregnant. I remember sometimes she wore outfits and I'm like, where is the bump? But looking at her now in a bikini, you would not even know she's had a child. How old's her child? It must be 3 months old?
Oh, yeah, if that, exactly. And that's what the Sun is saying. Every time we see a picture of Tamara Eccleston, we're left asking, what exactly does this woman do? The heiress, who seems to average 24 holidays a year, plays up to the cameras like a moth to a flame. Here's the thing. It's fine. No problem. Credit to her. She's got a figure back. Perhaps she's been in the gym every day. But I wonder whether it's unhelpful because everyone else, all the other women that are out there expecting babies, suddenly have got this expectation on them. And yeah. They somehow think it's possible to do that, whereas actually, no, it's blooming very hard.
It's so true. Obviously, people are going to watch me, what my body's going to be like.
Yeah.
But I have to be honest, like even with Harvey, I did ping back small with Junior and Princess. I never worked out. And with Jet, I ballooned up. And then obviously, I never shrunk back. But do you know what? Being in this industry, I don't care anyway what people think. If I want to get slim and whatever, I will. But you know all these diets, every day people are dieting. Nobody is the same.
Yeah.
You know.
You're right. One person can eat a donut and balloon. Another person can have a full English every morning and be as skinny as
anything.
Exactly.
They do say you are what you eat. And if that's true, then I should be massive.
Right. Because you do eat a lot.
I do. Like every Friday, like I've said before, I have an Indian takeaway. I do my lamb roast on a Sunday. But only these past sort of few weeks, I've been trying to be a bit more healthier because now, you know, you do pile it on.
But you've never been someone that struggled with your weight, have you?
Never.
Which is brilliant. And I think it's partly because you're active and you generally have a good diet, don't you? And you work your socks off. I mean, working is good for weight loss, isn't
it? The only area I get bigger in is the upper area, but that's all helped to a surgeon.
A little bit of assistance there. Well, look, what we've got to do now is we're going to have a little listen to a message, because what's lovely about the FUBAR app, which I know most of you are listening, you can also listen online, but most people listen through the app on their smartphone. And on the app, there's a thing called Foo You, where you can record a message and we play it out on the show. So I've got one right here and it's from Megan. So let's have a listen to a message from Megan to FUBAR Radio. And if you think you can do better, then give us a shout. Here we go. And here comes Megan.
Hi, Katie. I just wanted to say that I think you're an inspiration. Whatever you decide to do with regards to your marriage is entirely up to yourself. And if people have got a problem with that, then they're not true friends or they're not true supporters of you. I'm expecting baby number 4, so I'm really excited. And I just want to wish you all the best with the impending birth and massive kisses to you and all your family.
How about that? That's very nice, isn't it? God bless you for that, Megan. And good luck with your little baba that's on its way
yes,
as well.
Yes, definitely.
Let's have a look. What else have I got here? I've got loads of tweets and they are just
coming
through.
Are there any 55-year-old men who say they're good in the sack? Because from what I asked earlier...
They've been very quiet. I think they're still kipping in the armchair. That's the problem. Ava Riley has said, love listening to Katie Price on FUBAR Radio all the way from Australia. Love you, Katie.
Aww.
How about that? Great to have listeners in Australia. Craig Scott.
Hello, Craig.
Talking about sleep. I agree. I go to bed at like 1 a.m., back up at 7 for the gym. And I always say, I'm knackered and I'll have an early night tonight and I never do. And the problem is, that's because you're knackered all day. By 10 p.m, you get your second wind, don't you?
You do. And by the way, Craig, your pictures are looking good.
Who is Craig? Is he a friend of yours?
No, he's one of my fans. I see him at all my signings and stuff.
Really?
And he's been going to the gym, so he posts some pictures of himself.
How about that? We've got... you do look after your fans, don't you?
I do have some real loyal ones, yeah.
Joe Hopp has tweeted in, loving the show, Katie. Big shout out to Katie and Mark as well. Thank you, Joe. And also Ava Riley. Thank you for being available in Australia. Finally, get more of the pricey at last. When will you be out here in Australia again?
Hopefully November.
Brilliant. You've got obviously a gazillion fans in Australia, haven't you?
It's not about a gazillion. I might have one.
You've got plenty. You've got plenty. I know that. It's Foo Bar Radio. It's 11:16. We're going to have right up until 12 now a big showbiz fest, all the big showbiz stories from the papers and social media. Let's have a record in between. Love a bit of this. Blondie Atomic on Foo Bar. Another blonde bombshell.
Mark Dolan and Katie Price on Foo Bar Radio.
It's FUBAR Radio. The time is 11:23. Katie Price, we are halfway through our second broadcast together. Are you having fun?
It goes too quick.
It flies by, doesn't it?
It does. But it I'm enjoying does. It. I love it.
Well, the audience are loving having you as well. I've got another Foo You here. This is a message from another member of our audience, and this is Craig Scott.
Oh, I know Craig Scott as well.
There you go. So let's have a listen to what Craig's got to say.
Oh, I love
this. This is like a modern version of the phone-in. Do you know what I mean? It's a bit more technological than that. So here we go. This is a Foo You message from Craig.
Hiya Katie, hiya Mark, it's just Craig. I'm just recording this because I want to say thank you Katie for them compliments on my pictures and stuff, because I get so much hassle off people about the pictures and stuff that I upload, and when someone like you turns around and says like how good I'm doing, it actually does mean a lot, so thank you.
There you go, Craig, well done for sending a message there.
Don't worry about anyone else, Craig. I say you look good, so keep up the work.
Yeah, that's it. There's a lot of people who are so self-conscious because our society is very harsh, isn't it? And do you know what? I was thinking about this yesterday. I was looking at Twitter and stuff. There's so much hatred out there.
There is. Like, poor Craig, you know, he goes to the gym. I think when people think of people going to the gym, men, they automatically think they should be these steroid freaks, which they don't have to be. Yeah. You know, you go to the gym to feel good, to be fit.
Yeah.
You know, and there's nothing wrong with that.
I've got a friend who's got a brilliant, fantastic trick with the gym, which is basically just to have a sauna and not actually work out. And do you know what? I recommend it. I tried it recently and it's brilliant, because what happens is you go in and you've got the ritual, you've got your time to yourself, you sit there, you sweat, you then have a shower, you feel like you've worked out.
Well, it is, because the sweat obviously takes your weight off.
I love a sauna. I when you have that choice at a nice health club, you always have a choice of the steam room and the sauna. I always take the sauna.
You do, but then it's like jacuzzis in places like that. You think of how many people have peed in it while you're sitting in it.
I know, jacuzzis are disgusting.
And then you think of the verrugas. That same with the steam room, it's everyone's sweat.
No, don't even go
all
there
in.
But actually I think the sauna's fine, isn't it, because it's dry.
Oh,
and I think it kills all the bugs. But I've got a friend who had a jacuzzi fitted, and all the family used it. They just had it installed and they all got the shingles.
No, did they?
Yeah, hideous, disgusting. No one wants
them,
to get back in of it.
Lazy spas, they're a lot cheaper than getting the big jacuzzi ones.
Yeah.
Because I thought, right, let's try and see if we actually use it. And we did actually use it. They're a fraction of the price. I think it was about £600.
Well, what is the difference? What is it? Is it just a bath with jets in it?
Basically, it's like a jacuzzi bath. It's obviously round and deep, but it hasn't got the chairs in it and stuff.
Yeah,
but it heats up and it does all the bubbles. It does the same job. Okay, it doesn't look as good and look as flash.
Yeah.
But for a fraction of the price, it does the job.
Is it outdoor? And that's quite nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or on a summer evening. Fantastic. The other thing I was going to ask you is, could you live without your iPhone or your... have you got an iPad?
Do you know, I've got all the gear, but no idea.
Yeah, what? How to use it? The kids,
they know
show you
more
how
than
to,
me. Yes,
because it's a very interesting story here. There's a headline in one of the papers. Forget the diet. How about a digital detox? Visit the weekend summer camp for adults, where tablets, phones, and Facebook are banned, and even your real name isn't used. Tired of the social media treadmill and hoping to unplug for a couple of days? Consider this fast-growing summer camp, 3 hours outside of San Francisco, where the first rituals involve handing over your personal electronic devices to volunteers in white lab coats. Camp Grounded, now in its second year, offers hyper-connected attendees a brief respite from the incessant noise of Facebook, Twitter, and a plethora of other media relentlessly battling for their attention. Digital detox. Could you do it?
Well, apparently you're not allowed to talk about work or anything like that as well.
That's it.
The thing is, if you're going on one of them holidays and you're with everyone else, then you could do it. And to be honest, I only use my phone for literally work. When I'm at home, everyone always says, oh, you're so hard to get hold of, because I always have my phone on silent and I leave it on the side. So, yes, I could cope. As long as if something happens to Harvey or any of the kids, someone can contact me, then I'll be fine.
Yeah, but probably what you want to do is they want to give you one of those sort of 90s Nokia phones.
Do you remember them?
Yeah, which has only got, like, with the proper aerial on it. And so, and all they can do is call you and nothing else. Maybe that's the thing, because then you've got that peace of mind.
But I could easily do that, no problem.
So you are you not one of those people? Because people would think, because of your profile and stuff, that you're constantly tweeting and you're on Facebook and social media.
Yeah, but obviously when I'm out and about. But if I'm going to go on holiday like that, then honestly it doesn't bother
me.
Are
you quite good at switching off generally when you're on holiday?
Yes.
Yeah, so I think you do leave it. Do you feel like you're off duty, or are you, is it Katie Price 24/7? Are you like this kind of, you know, you're just this kind of one woman brand and it's always, always running and up and running? And
do you know, I wish so many people could have a work experience life with me, and I bet you they walk away saying, oh my God, it's, she's so normal, so down to her life isn't what people think it is. You know, like, if I'm in Tesco's or something, people are like, what, you do your own shopping? It's like, well, who else is going to do my shopping?
I think people, there's a lot of misunderstanding. And also
it's
people...
It's so normal. My life is so normal.
What I've learned, what I've learned about you in the last couple of shows we've done is that if the kids are not sleeping at night, they come and see mummy and they wake you up. And people, you know, they don't understand and would just imagine there's an army of Mary Poppins-style nannies. And that you barely even see the kids. It's like the kids are born and then the nannies look after them. And then when they're 18, they come and meet you for the first time.
Not at all. Like, Kieran's got jet
today. This is your mum.
Like
the royal, because that's how the aristocrats used to do it, isn't it? Is that they would send their kids off to school at 5, boarding school. And they basically wouldn't really come back into their lives till they were 18.
Well, it's like Harvey. He goes to school in Wimbledon. And, you know, they got boarding there. But he travels just over an hour to go to school every day. And I don't want to board him. He comes home. I am with my kids all the time. Obviously, me and Pete share Junior and Princess. But like today, Kieran's with Jet. He's not with the nanny.
Yeah.
So we are normal.
Good.
If that's such, you know, whatever normal
is. No, I think what it means is that you do a lot of, you do all the work yourself. And I think that's what people have got to understand.
Yeah.
It's like, actually, if you're a parent, rich or poor, it's a commitment to your kids. It's a lot of work and you just have to accept that.
And having a nanny at home is no different to dropping your kids to a childminder to go to work.
But also, I don't know about you. I know you've said last week that there's lots of people in your house, but I...
There isn't. It's like Lizzie the nanny, and that's it. And then a cleaner... Well, the girl who does my nails, Abby, but her mum comes in Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
So otherwise, it's only friends who come round or whatever, friends and family.
Yeah, and then I'm constantly in and out that dishwasher, cleaning up plates, cups. I'm not the best at making tea. Whenever I say, so, who wants a cuppa? And then everyone goes, you mean you want a cup of tea?
Yeah.
And they end up making it.
How many dishwashers have you got?
Two.
Yeah, I would have thought so. I'd be disappointed if you said one.
But we need it, honestly.
You do need it. I love that idea. I would like two. I think two is the way to go. One dirty, one clean.
And I wish I had more washing machine and dryers, because there's constantly washing going on in the house as well.
Have you got a couple of washing machines?
One washing machine, a normal size, and a normal tumble dryer. Yeah, in the stables, they've got the big industrial ones for the rugs. That's really what we should have in the house.
That's
always washing. That utility room is never clear or closed.
But I've got a thing, which is that I totally relate to the fact that you don't have an army of staff at home, because my thing is that when I'm at home, I like to relax a bit.
Exactly.
And kick back. And you know what? I'll even, which is a disgusting image, but I'll be
walk
sat
around
there,
naked or something.
Maybe, you know, in my
scratching
box,
your balls.
In my boxers. Do you know what I mean? I just feel like I'm at home now. And therefore, just having some, especially, you know, au pairs, nannies, having some kind of slightly grumpy young Spanish woman in the house all day and all night, and being
it's not
depressed,
like that at all,
being depressed because she misses her boyfriend. I'm not sure I could put up with that.
No, and then Lizzie, she can go whenever she wants, or she stays on site, but not in the house. But you know, I have to have a nanny. Like I said, not that I have to justify to anyone,
no,
because the kids all go to different schools, and that's the way it is.
Of course, it is. Katie Price, Mark Dolan with you right through till 1 o'clock. Our Showbiz Fest starts next. Caroline Millington is in the building, assistant editor at Now Magazine, at which Katie has an exclusive must-read column
out
every
today.
Single week. Out today, boom, always a must-read. And we're going to go through some massive Showbiz stories at FUBAR Radio, Dolan at FUBARradio.com. Give us a shout and we will include you in the conversation. Here's a record from Daft Punk, Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger, sounds like my co-host.
Mark Dolan and Katie Price on FUBAR Radio.
Absolutely right. You're listening to FUBAR Radio, the home of Katie Price. And in the studio now, assistant editor at Now Magazine, the must-read Showbiz Weekly, Caroline Millington. Welcome to FUBAR.
Good morning.
You're very bright and energetic and buzzy.
And you smell nice as well.
Oh, thank you, Mark Jacobs Daisy.
Is it?
Yeah, it's lovely.
Mark
it's nice.
Jacobs Daisy.
Posh. Very posh.
It is. Money's been spent, but do you know what? You're so worth it.
Did you buy it or did someone buy it for you?
I bought it. Uh-oh. I don't wait for people to buy me things. I buy them myself.
That's the Katie vibe. Do it yourself.
Yes.
You roll your sleeves up and you make it happen.
Exactly.
I think, actually, don't you think Katie should do one of those self-help books? Do it the pricey
That's
way.
That's a really good idea. Or you could have all your little mantras.
Way. Just don't follow the right path. Take a risk.
Don't do what
I would buy that book and I would follow all your 6-step guide to being successful as Katie
like
Price.
I would like to do a book like that.
And what I would do is I just wouldn't read that chapter about relationships. I'd skip that.
Yeah, I'm rubbish at that.
I don't need that. Let's just jump over that one. But do you know what I think actually? I think actually it's very good in life. It's another way in which you're an inspiration is to actually say it's very good to risk being hurt in life, because don't you think that if you spend your whole life avoiding relationships that may be hurtful, you're not really alive. You're dead, don't you think? Isn't that the point, to
and
take a risk?
And it makes you stronger. But like, if anything, in my whole career, when people say no, I'm like, well, watch me. And I always take the paths I'm not supposed to take.
That's
but
right.
I get there in the end.
You absolutely do. You're like Google Maps in that way. Now, Caroline, splendid, scrumptious Caroline Millington, in a very lovely summery dress.
Thank you.
Because we do love this weather, and I'm so excited because the world of showbiz is influenced by a lot of summer events now.
Yes.
So what have we got? We've got Glastonbury coming up.
This weekend is going to be huge.
Huge. I mean, is it the world's biggest live music event, like festival-y event thing?
I think so, because it's been going for so long. I mean, it's decades and decades. And you think, oh, festivals, there's so many now all around the world. Coachella's massive in America. Yeah. That's their big one. We've still got really good festivals all year over here with like Hard Rock Calling and...
Everything Latitude.
Yeah, V Festival. Yeah. But Glastonbury is... the one to
it's
go
the
to.
Daddy.
Never been.
I've never done Glastonbury.
Katie, I don't want to prejudge you because that would be wrong, but you don't strike me as a kind of tent kind of character.
Well, I'll have you that you're wrong there, because I love the outdoors and a bit of mud and wellies. That's like being at home. But I've actually never been.
But you're a whole different kind of camp. That's
I would
thing.
Turn up in my pink horse box and do it in style.
Yeah, you'd be like,
not a tent. I'll pitch
away.
Up the horse
have
box.
Have you actually spent a night in a tent ever?
I was younger, but we go camping in my horse box. Or is that more glamping, as
That's
they call
glamping.
It?
It's not bad, but no, you're right. You definitely earned your credibility. You're more outdoorsy than I am. When I was courting the beautiful Maria, who miraculously became my wife, I had to. Her family are all very outdoorsy because they're German, and the Germans are a bit like
that.
They
love outdoors, yes.
And so I went camping with her dad. And it was like the first time I'd really met her dad, and I obviously hadn't let myself down, so I had to pretend that I was really into camping. And obviously I struggled to get the tent up, so already he's like tutting and shaking his, and he's German, so he's like, expect everything to be done perfectly, do you know what I mean?
Very efficient.
And I've put it up, so he put his tent up, I put my tent up, and I just spent the night. I was just blue with cold. We only had one sleeping bag for some reason. So I insisted that Maria take the sleeping bag, because that's what happens. That's why when you're trying to trick someone into marrying you, you do stuff like that. and I just lay there blue all night. And it was like being a homeless man for 24 hours. And I was ill for a week. So that was my camping experience. Never again.
But you see, go on. What you should have done is like use the excuse to snuggle up. It's all about body warmth when you're camping. You get closer to the
person. I did try that. She wasn't having any of that.
She was like, that zip
was
right
up. She saw
right
through that one. She was gone. She was snoring. Do you know what I mean? She was.
But like Glastonbury, they probably get so off their nut and drunk.
That's
and
true.
Whatever.
Yeah,
do they
true.
Really worry where they're asleep?
It's a really good point, because when you're that pissed, you just sleep
exactly.
anywhere.
When
you?
I've camped at festivals, it's like I'm wearing a vodka coat, so it's absolutely fine. Exactly. Keeps you warm going. But it is when I've done two nights. The most I've done is two nights at a festival and gone home on the Monday, and wet wipes are your saviour. But it's not pleasant.
You obviously can't sleep properly because there's always something going on.
And people falling into tents or nicking your tent.
But that's half of the fun, I suppose.
Yeah.
Isn't
and
definitely.
Noise. Sorry, do you say nicking your tent? Is there tent theft at these tents?
Yeah, some people.
Get lost.
No!
Yeah. And you'll go, and this, I mean, not for me, but other people. It's
that's
like
so
stuff
naughty.
Gets stolen, or they move people's tents. And, oh, it's really fun.
God.
I'm not having it. You're not selling it. But it is the biggest. In a weird way, what happens is it's like when rock music and showbiz all come together, Glastonbury, isn't it?
The biggest thing is the fashion, I think, at Glastonbury. I know.
Never used to be like that, though,
but
did
now
it?
It's like, what are they going to wear? Because it's the hardest thing to dress for. The weather, it's warm, but it's muddy. What, you want to look good, but you're going to look muddy and smelly.
I bet Hunter Wellies make a fortune.
Yeah. It's all about like shorts, like tiny little shorts and hunter wellies and little crop tops. And it's all very boho normally as well, and lots of hats or headdresses.
Yeah, because the Coachella Festival, have you seen the pictures from the Coachella one? Because that's where people like Katy Perry go. And right. It's all that bohemian stuff, isn't it? The flowery skirts and the flowers in the hair, and it's all very kind of 60s.
You can't wear hippie skirts at Glastonbury, though, because the mud, can you imagine? Yeah. It'd be weighed down ripped off your body.
So the Hunter, are Hunter Wellies, is that the only wellie to be seen in this year, do you think?
Well, they're quite trendy, aren't they?
They are.
You got Katie Price got a pair of Hunter Wellies?
Of course, and a bit of Barber Hunter. Yep.
Has to be up. My missy, I must say, for Valentine's, I was under enormous pressure because I forgot about it because I'm a man. At least that way, I'm like a man.
It's the same date every year.
I know. Tell me about like the wedding anniversary. And I was in a tight corner because it was like 5 PM, and I suddenly thought, I haven't got anything. And there's a department store in Upper Holloway. It's one of those lovely independent department stores called, what the hell is it called? James Selby. And they've got a Hunter's concession.
So you can always buy someone a pair of Hunters.
A romantic pair of wellies.
So yeah. I bought a practical footwear. And I've got to say, she took them back and got a different colour because I haven't got a clue. So that was, but she liked the wellies very much. And she's addicted to them and want any excuse to wear them now.
There cool, because you can get the inner bits for them.
Yes.
Yeah, the lovely woolly insoles. Yeah,
they've gone up in price a lot, though, from what they were years ago. Because I remember originally I had a pair of green ones when I was riding and stuff.
They were country wellies,
But now they've become so fashionable that then you get other people to do collaboration with them. I think Jimmy Choo or someone did something with them.
Yeah,
it's a ridiculous amount for like a croc-looking pair of Hunters and...
It's the best ever business model because it's just a lump of rubber just from a production line.
Or just go to your local garden centre just to get a pair of Queen Willies for about £9.
Yeah,
no one will know.
A pair of Dunlops from Sports Direct.
Exactly.
And just write the word Hunter in marker pen on the front and who's going to know the difference?
But they're not as long, the Dunlop. I can't even say it.
I got
it
those, you know, the half wellies.
That's what I mean.
I've bought little sort of ankle wellies before for festivals, which are like perfect.
Like the Jimmy Cricket ones, aren't they? Do you remember that comedian in the 70s, they're like that, left and right.
Yeah, that's what I wore. No one laughed. They might have done, but never mind.
But it'll be good. Do you know, do we have any idea? Because they're talking about, you won't believe this, do you want to know how many people go to Glastonbury?
Go on. Loads.
175,000.
No.
That's a small town. That's a large town.
How much is it, a ticket?
Oh, loads.
A couple hundred, at least.
Are you serious? They make
Easy.
A fortune,
and
don't
it sells
they?
Out straight away. And they don't, they put the tickets on there months ago. And they don't say who the headliner is. So you're buying the ticket, not knowing.
That's right.
And I think it's Metallica, one of the headliners, which is massive.
Yeah, huge.
Bit of a rock fan back when I was a teenager.
Love Metallica.
So, yeah.
They're British as well, aren't they?
Yeah. I think they're a mixture.
Are they?
They're a mixture, but they've got British roots.
Yeah.
But yeah, a bit of Enter Sandman.
So who owns the fields? Is it owned by, or is it a government owned?
It's the aristocrat. It's that dude, isn't it? What's his name? It's the guy that runs Glastonbury. Harry will check us out. Harry knows everything. But there's this wonderful aristocratic bloke who's created Glastonbury about 20 years ago. And we do, I think Tal's knows his name. Michael Eavis. He's just a landowner who wears tweed. And I can't remember if he did it to probably raise money to stick a new roof on the stately home or something. You know what I mean? It was probably some...
a chimney.
Because the thing about the aristos is they've got land and they've got property, but they've got no cash. They're always cash poor.
No cash flow, yep.
So he's probably done that and the rest is history. And in the good old days, people used to smuggle their way in. You'd just go through a bush. But it's full on now. There's a metal fence they've erected.
Oh, really?
It's very professional.
Maybe I should get some wellies and get myself down there.
Well, the thing is, I've got a little thought, which is that Katie, it's a badly kept secret that Katie is thinking of reviving her pop career. We know that. You mentioned that last week.
Oh, we love doing that.
I can do backing vocals.
So I wonder whether you couldn't do a headline set. Perhaps, if it's going to be next year.
I don't
think
there's so many tickets.
2015.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Bruce Forsyth was on last year.
They you never really, know, actually. Don't hold your breath.
Yeah.
Or hold your breath.
Katie does Glasgow.
Yeah, imagine.
And Katie's much funnier than Brucey, isn't she? Katie's a real entertainer.
Yeah.
She does everything. So, also, speaking of people that do everything, Miley Cyrus. Now, I've got to be honest with you, this lady gets on my tits at all times. I'll tell you my irritation now. I'll just get it out there. I don't think she's very pretty, for a start.
Oh, ouch.
You know, and I just think that we're having it bashed across our head about this, you know, this star, and she sings, and she's quite provocative and everything, but I'm not a fan. I don't think she's beautiful or talented or any of those things. I think she's just a manipulator of her own image, and she's good at that, but not much else. What do you think?
She's got a really good voice, and obviously she's been around for ages, and she's surrounded by, like, good people. Like, Dolly Parton's her godmother, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, but like you say, she's worn all these outfits and it's got her in the paper. She knows exactly what she's doing with that tongue thing, whatever she was doing at that point. But she's got herself in the papers, and, you know, it's the same with Rihanna. They only have to do these things and they know how to court the press. Because if you think how many singers out there, how many people try and make it, I suppose you have to be quite extrovert to get in there. Like, look at Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
I think
Lady Gaga's such a great artist, isn't she?
But yeah, Gaga's taken a step back now. She's apparently said she's happy for Miley to be the outrageous one. So I think...
But there should be room for everyone. Oh, yeah, I always say that.
Have I misread this badly with the Miley? She just irritates me. Because, like, for example, she was at a gig the other night and she made a joke about... She said, if you fancy someone, the best thing to do that I like to do is put something in their drink and that sorts it out.
That's not good.
So let's have a Rohypnol. A moment there in the gig, and I just thought, I think maybe I'm showing my age, aren't I?
No, that is a bit irresponsible for her, because she's got lots of young fans. I know I'm not saying I'm perfect and I'm trying to be a role model, but I wouldn't say anything like that.
No,
I don't think you've got an army of 8-year-old fans.
That's what I mean.
Which she does,
but I think the difference is she had all these tweeny fans when she was, you know, Miley Cyrus, when she was starting out as the pop star after doing Hannah Montana. And now she's doing it happens every time.
Britney
with these
was the same.
Teen stars. Exactly. It's I want to be taken seriously. I've discovered my sexuality. I'm going to take all my clothes off. I'm going to pretend to smoke spliffs on stage every night. And
yeah, I didn't get that.
I think there's a way to do it, but I just don't think, I think the way she does it is not very classy. I mean, when I mentioned about the looks, I didn't mean that in a harsh way. I just felt that... you know how she go like she's half naked,
yeah.
And I'm a heterosexual man, and I look, and it's ugly to me. It's like I don't want to put it away. That's why when I see a half naked photo of Miley
Cyrus,
I won't
come in with my tits out next week. Get my orangutans out.
I know. I don't know. But look, good luck to her. She's obviously doing very well, and she understands the game. And the thing is, she's actually showbiz royalty, because her dad is Billy Ray Cyrus. He's one of the most biggest selling American country singers ever. So she's obviously got that pedigree.
Yeah.
To use a kind of equine term, just to connect she's like, because that's people with horses, then you just sell, if the horse wins a race, then you can sell that horse's semen. So she's a bit like that. She's a good stud. Or is that the word? But it's just not for me.
Well, she can sing, she can dance, and she can perform. She could do more than what I can do in that way.
I just don't know.
Oh, I can perform, actually. Bring it on.
I just don't know where she's going to go next, though. We've seen her naked doing Wrecking Ball, so she's taken all her clothes off. She's talked about drugs. She's drunk.
She's been engaged. I don't know.
What can she do that's going to shock or get? Put some clothes on and strip back the makeup, and that's probably going to get the headlines.
Maybe a pair of Hunter Wellies.
What do you think would give her a headline? What should she do?
I think if she actually put some clothes on and did something, some crazy charity thing, or got a really nice, steady, normal boyfriend.
Oh, that never happens.
Exactly. But that's kind of, you know, what can she do? I mean, unless she starts dating like some sugar daddy in his 50s, that would be shocking.
Maybe or Alan Sugar, perhaps. Or do you know what
Literally
I mean? Someone like
daddy,
that, Silver Fox. Well, we shall see. I'm intrigued by that. What do you think? Do you hugely disagree? Is it just me that can't stand Miley Cyrus? At FUBAR Radio, I've got lots of tweets and emails to get through. We'll do that after this next record with Caroline Millington from Now Magazine. We're going to find out whether Robert Pattinson and Katy Perry are going to cozy up to each other in very much the last couple of weeks of celeb couples who are kind of been on and off. Is it going to happen? FUBAR Radio, this is Kanye West, Heard Him Say.
Mark Dolan and Katie Price on FUBAR Radio.
That was a bit of Kanye West on FUBAR Radio, and we've got lots of tweets and emails to get through. Katie looks really well and glowing. Radio presenting suits you, says Rachna. Thank you. Well done. Emma at Glitter Babe Emma.
Oh, I know Emma. How's the baby? Baby Kate?
She knows. Whoop, me and little Katie have just joined you on Fubar Radio app. Please, can you say hi to us? Love you lots.
Just did that.
You did. Laurie Owen, nice feet, but also loving them shoes, says Laurie Owen. The shoes are nice. Would you care? Are they Jimmy Choo's?
No, I got these about 3 years ago from a shop in Wimbledon.
Yeah. Can you just... I know you don't want you to break your waters or anything, but let me say that, yeah. They're very pretty. They look kind of a silk... They're what they are... What actually, Caroline, I'm a bloke. I can't describe them. What is it? It's a wedge.
Right, if they want me to see what design or whatever they are, I'll have a look.
It's a high wedge as well.
I have no idea. What does that
with
say?
With sort of pink, bright pink crochet.
Oh, St. Fionnes or something. What does that say? Never heard of them.
This is a world exclusive.
Imagine if it's a massive design. I've never heard of them.
A fiancés, I think it says. French.
I've never heard of them. Have you?
No.
But well, it's a lovely, it's basically kind of a high heel sandal.
A wedge.
You call it a wedge. Court wedge. How does Katie Price go shopping? Because you're very well known. You can't just go to Oxford Street and have a mooch about, I wouldn't have thought.
Do you know what? The truth is I go to Brighton because I'm from Brighton and I always go to River Island. And sometimes if I can be bothered to walk along to Topshop.
Yeah.
Or I go to Debenhams because they have accessories. That's honestly what I do.
And you get most of your stuff from there. So do you feel like High Street serve your needs then, fashion-wise?
High Streets, but then if there's anything else, if I go to Selfridges or Harrods or something, then...
Yeah. But do you get hassle? If you go to River Island in Brighton, do you get an awful lot of attention? Is it hard to concentrate?
No, people look, but I don't do eye contact or I put my beats on.
Ah, and that gets you out of it. Yeah. Also, I've got here Anne-Marie. Hiya, my hairdresser has been for that hair-burning treatment for years. It does make your hair feel soft. And no, my hairdresser isn't Brazilian, just an old man named Merv.
Merv the perv.
Hi, Katie. Listening all the way from Australia. Absolutely love the fact that I can hear you when we don't get to hear or see so much of you. So thank you, Fubar. Thank you, Ava. My question is, will Katie come back to Australia anytime soon? I think the answer to that is yes.
November.
Lady Ang, where are the shoes from? I think we've answered that. Also...
I'm sure you'll see them on my eBay shop soon.
Have you got an eBay shop?
Yeah, I give... Jordan's Closet, and I give money to charity from it as well.
Such a good idea. That's
what I'm always sorting my clothes out.
Woo, so excited. I'm not the only one listening from Oz, and that's Shell Visto. Hello, Shell.
Hey, Shell.
Also, Cheryl Evans says, looking lovely and tanned there, Katie. Rachna says, don't worry about what people think. You're most down-to-earth person. As everyone says that about you, that you're very down-to-earth, and they're right about that.
Well, now, she's met me, so she would know.
I don't know whether you guys think that it's a good idea to have your toes shortened so you can squeeze into killer heels, Caroline.
Ouch.
But we're going to speak to a top plastic surgeon after this record to find out why on earth you would have that done, and we'll put that to Katie as well, was she? Because no stranger to the surgeon's knife. Katie will be the authoritative voice on this. We'll do that after a quick record from Jessie Ware, 110%. Jessie Ware on Fubar, 110%. The time is exactly midday. It's the afternoon. It is Tuesday, the 24th of June. The sun is shining outside. Great to have you listening all over the world to Fubar Radio, the home of Katie Price. And we've got a very interesting story which relates Caroline Middington, assistant editor at Now Magazine. Would you have your toes shortened to fit killer heels? It's agonising and dangerous, but more and more women are doing it. Would you do it?
No.
Be madness, wouldn't it?
I barely wear heels anyway. I'm short, but I just don't wear a lot of heels. I like flats. I like comfort. So I do wear the odd heel, but it's not a daily occurrence. And I just think your toes... You'd have to be off your feet to have them to heal up. And I know people have had surgery on bunions, you know, because they're of pain. And they've been out of action, and it's just not practical.
Katie, we have established earlier in the show that you've got great feet. You do have an epic pair of plates.
Oh, I love
as a
them.
Londoner would say. You really do have great feet. They're compact, aren't they? Then it's not a big foot. It's
I'm like a 3 to 4, size 3 to 4.
And what would that be European wise? That'd be like
36.
Yeah. Now I always get this when I buy shoes, which is that they tend to sell shoes and display shoes in smaller sizes, and then they bring my size, which is 11, and they're it's horrible, big, huge thing.
But you know what that means.
Well, yeah.
Expensive
You're
shoes.
Flattening, yes, correct. Exactly. And do you know what the thing is? That with regard to that, yeah. We always think that shoes look better when they're small. So a smaller foot, it is cuter, isn't it? A smaller shoe and a smaller foot.
It is. Like my mum and my sister, they suffer bad from their feet. They've got bunions. My mum's had hers done. But for me, like I say, if I can't ever say don't have anything done, because obviously I always talk about if I have surgery or anything. And, you know, people know me for having surgery. But with your feet, you need your toes to balance and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like with your eyes. People say, because I wear glasses, believe it or not. I don't wear them all the time. Would I have my eyes lasered as well? You only get one pair of eyes. And if they, like, mess it up, you can't see. Same with your feet. It's like you need your feet to, like, walk. Well, yeah. You know what I mean.
Yeah, I do. So the idea, you're
like
saying...
the boobs and all of that, yeah. But the feet, having them, like, I don't even know what they do. Shave them down, break them.
You're basically saying you wouldn't mess with any of the fundamental organs that keep you alive and stood.
But boobs and things like that is... not a problem.
Well, let's speak to the absolute expert, the elite of cosmetic surgery. He's the go-to man for a nip and a tuck from the Hospital of St. John and St. Elizabeth. It's the one and only Alex Caridis. Mr. Caridis, welcome to FUBAR and thank you for your time, sir.
Morning. I have a good day now.
It's good to have you on board. Have you done any surgeries today yet? Have you had any implants or anything by lunchtime?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. We've already sort of done a few operations this morning.
Wow.
More this afternoon.
Now, have you heard about the toe shortening, and is it something that you would consider doing?
Well, you see, the thing is this. I think everything's been... I was listening in on what Katie was saying, and a lot of that is true, in that I don't think it's something you want to mess around with unnecessarily. Obviously, if there are issues and problems with your toes or your feet, then yes, you go on and do some surgery. However, we have to remember the foot, it's a functional piece of our anatomy, and we need it to walk, as Katie said, and do other things. And so, if something goes wrong, you're more likely to experience problems with the foot rather than, say, some other concealed part of your anatomy. So I think it's important to make note. Having said that, sure, there are some people who have sort of excessively long toes or crooked toes, which is a definite impediment to them or a definite problem for them. And so in those situations, they're having difficulty, for example, getting into shoes, not just sort of high heel or Manolo Blahniks or Jimmy Choos, but just any shoe. And so in those situations, a lot of patients turn to some expert advice in order to correct this. But I don't think it should be taken lightly. My toe is a couple of millimeters too long and I'm having difficulty getting into a particular shoe, and so therefore I think I'm going to have some surgery. I don't think that is certainly the right way to go.
Is it quite a straightforward procedure to shorten toes? Would it just be a case of...
Yeah.
How would you do it?
Well, basically, if you have longer toes, you have to obviously reduce the bone length. Mm. So you usually take a small section of the bone out, and after you put a little wire in to rejoin them again. And of course, what happens to soft tissue around it just shrinks around. But there are limitations that obviously, if you have excessively long toes, then obviously some skin might need to be removed as well. But that's not usually the case.
So you can rebuild the human foot and make it look more dainty.
Well, up to a point. Again, if you have like something like a very severe bunion, which can be quite an acute deformity for a lot of people, and honestly, in those situations, it can be difficult getting into some footwear. Then yes, you can make a big difference to these patients. Certainly on a comfort level.
But if there wasn't anything wrong with someone's foot, they just had long... they just said, look, I've got just long...
manky toes.
Yeah, manky toes. Would you feel comfortable fixing that for the person involved?
I suppose it would depend on how manky or exactly what the problem is. And also, I think the attitude of the patient. In general, as surgeons, we like to make sure the patients are aware of all the risks involved, because I think that's a very important point. You need to be, you need to fully understand that there's always risks inherent with any surgery. And so, you shouldn't take it lightly, say, well, I'll just go have my toes done, without fully understanding and being aware of what could go wrong. Because, if you get a bad infection or some wound problem, that in turn could cause you other problems. So, you need to know, what you're getting yourself into, and also balance out the risks, to the benefits.
Alex, I must be a nightmare client for you, because I would come to you and say, right, I want this done, that done. And, you know, I think I have met you before years ago. Mm. And, you know, I'm known for having boob jobs and whatever.
You've always been very honest about it, which is
always
a credit to you, because a lot of people aren't honest.
Now, from your point of view, you know me, it won't hurt whatever you say. Some areas you probably think, oh, I've had too much too done. What would you? What was your advice to me, apart from sorting my head out? Because the reason I say it, because I did have my boobs done 2 years ago, and then 3 months later, I fell pregnant. So obviously, I will need them redoing again, and I think that would be the fifth time. Yeah. Is that something you'd be interested in?
Well, I think, by all means, I'm always happy to offer advice. But I think you hit it on the head, and that, you know, things, you know, change about our body. And, you know, we mustn't forget that whatever we do might not be permanent, might require some further surgery. So if you get yourself into something, for example, you know, a breast enlargement or a boob job, you have to be aware that you might need some further surgery down the line to correct what the aging process or what hormonal changes could do to you. And I think, as a surgeon, I just want to make sure patients don't take too much of a lackadaisical attitude towards operations. You know, they're serious stuff, and sure, we have the expertise, and they're quite commonplace, but we mustn't sort of think, oh, well, you know, I'm just going to have a little nip, and now that's fine, you know, and then on to the next one as well after that. You have to sort of pace yourself and understand, you know, what you're doing, you know.
And like you say, like I always say to people, if you're going to have Botox or fillers, you don't have that to make yourself look younger. You do it just to refresh your face. But, you know, sometimes I've gone too far with it, with my lips, Botox, and I recognise it, but not lots of people do, and then they go too far. Don't you agree?
Absolutely, because you know why? You know, they tend to focus on a particular aspect on the face, for example, and they see this and they magnify it almost, and they see it more than anybody else sees it, and they get obsessed with it, and then they want that corrected, and then before you know it, they've had too much put in, and then they think it's fine, but everybody else says, hang on a second, what happened here? You know, it's been overdone. So you need to rely, obviously you have to have a good trust in your, you know, your surgeon, your doctor, whoever's going to be doing this.
That was definitely me a few years ago.
You need to rely on their opinion.
I went too far with the Botox, fillers and lips, and I've sort of eased off it more now. But I think you come to realise that when you look at pictures, you're like, oh my God, did I look like that? I've got to ease off it. But, you know, some people, they don't, and they carry on, and then they look a mess.
Yeah, yeah. And unfortunately, you can get into a vicious cycle where the practitioner doesn't actually give you the right advice and just says, it's almost like a hired hand. What do you want? Do you want me to do this? Fine, I'll do it for you. Rather than saying, you know, take a more,
more
interactive approach.
It's quite clear, Mr. Caridis, that you are extremely ethical and you're the most in demand out there. But do you think there are too many in your field who will just agree to a shopping list of procedures, and as long as it's within, you know, the medical law of the country, they'll give you what you want, which I know is not how you roll.
I think you're right, but like any industry, there's always going to be people who are perhaps, you know, more sort of interested in your money rather than your true welfare. And, you know, you have to do your homework. You need to read a lot about, you know, what you're having done, get some recommendations. These are things that are really important before you sort of jump into anything. And, you know, and then also once you have decided, go see 2-3 people. You got to feel comfortable with the person you're going to have any kind of treatments with. You got to get the right chemistry, because if there is a problem, if something doesn't go right, you need to feel comfortable. You can approach that person and say, you know, we have this problem, you know, what are we going to do about it? And something, you know that you'll be able to come some good solution to.
Yeah, I mean, with regard to Katie's expecting a baby, and she looks amazing, incredible, you're glowing really, but you mentioned about if you have implants and things like that and then you have a baby, then obviously your body changes shape, and I would imagine that having babies is in connection with plastic surgery, they're sort of in conflict with each other, I guess.
Yes, it's a very common, the mummy job is quite common, where you do surgery to correct all the effects of pregnancy. You know, the tummy, the breasts, you know, a lot of things change, unfortunately, due to hormones.
Basically,
you know,
if you
changes.
Want to look like a patchwork quilt, it's out there. Because I've got a scar, the cesarean scar, obviously, because I've gone up and down with my boobs, I've obviously got, what's that scar they call? Is it the keyhole scar?
Yeah, the vertical scar.
Yeah, I've got that. But you know, it doesn't bother me. I actually heal really well. But people have got to remember, this is the thing as well. If you're going to have a procedure, sometimes it can go wrong. It can leave you with scars, but you know, a good surgeon will explain this all to you and show you pictures anyway.
Have you had a variety of surgeons over the years, Katie, or just
I have. I'm sure Alex knows, you know, like Dr. Prakash and Dr. Singh. And like, you haven't yet. I did say earlier, would you consider having a look at my boobies after?
That's what I wanted to ask you, actually.
After a baby, and I know lots of girls will be listening to this, after a baby, how long should you leave it before considering having your boobs redone? I actually don't know that. Is it 6 months or 3 months or something?
I usually prefer 9 to 12 months, to be honest with you.
Oh, quite long then.
The body takes time, you know, to recover. Remember, you're trying to reverse a 9-month process, so it doesn't. Your body doesn't just snap back after a couple of months. So, yeah, you have to give it time. And I think, you know, I know everybody's in a rush to get their body back into shape again, but, you know, everything's got to sort of, you know, come together. And so once it has done after, say, 9 months, I'm more than happy to have a look at the patient and then see what's left.
See, I like Mr. Caridis's vibe there.
Yeah, but that's good. He's not like just cashing in.
You can trust him because he'll make a judgment and go, look, I know you want them done now. It's been 3 months since you had a baby, but I'm going to make you wait the best part of a year.
But that's what you call a good surgeon, because you could go abroad or somewhere, which I did with my last one. So he was good, don't get me wrong, but I could always not even tell him I've had a baby and say, right, I want to get my boobs done. But that's not the right attitude either, because then you're more prone for things to go wrong because your body hasn't settled. So you do have to be sensible when you have surgery, but don't go too far like what I have in the past.
That's it. Well, Mr. Caridis, sir, what do you think? Has Katie earned herself a little discount there for?
I don't want a discount. I can pay my way.
I'm more than happy to have a chat with her whenever she's ready.
Thank you.
I feel like a matchmaker. Caroline, I'm thrilled about the field. That's what I've done. But we loved having you. Before we let you go, I've got the most extraordinary, compelling, shocking story I've ever heard about plastic surgery, and it was mentioned by Katie. All the names must remain nameless, including
but
your
you
famous.
Will know. But you'll know who it is, what I'm going to say.
And also, don't even mention the famous friend who told you the story.
I won't.
But what happened, before we let Mr. Caridis get back to that, the boob job that he's probably halfway through.
You will know who it is anyway. A friend introduced me to a guy who I wanted to get my boobs done with. And he's apparently really good, but he also does the vagina as well. And apparently, he was doing a boob job on a lady. And the nurse was with him. And because he does the other area as well, he sort of had a look and made notes that this woman would, you know, benefit from having her vagina done. And obviously the nurse complained about him, and now he's been struck off. Now, so my point of view on that is, well, he's probably looking because, you know, he could probably benefit the woman. But then when you're under anaesthetic, if you haven't been given permission to do that, should you look or shouldn't you? You probably know who I mean anyway, don't you? You probably do.
Yes, I do. But yeah, you're right.
And he's a nice guy as well. And
it sounds like a tragedy to me. I mean, it sounds more like a misjudgment than a medical negligence.
Because he's a nice guy and it's so sad.
It's unfortunate, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, very, very much so. Yeah. Unfortunately, you do need to get consent with these things, and you can't take things for granted.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he made a mistake, but it was a mistake. And I think that's akin to, you know, when you get your car in for servicing, or you say, look, I've got a problem with the carburetor's very rattly, and then, you know, they fix that, and when you come to pick the car up, they say, by the way, your air conditioning unit will need doing probably next service.
I think it's a bit different with the human body, isn't
really?
It?
Really? So we don't think we can connect
I think so.
The
I think it's a little bit different,
them.
Yes.
All right. Well, that would never happen on your watch. Mr. Caridis, thank you very much for your
thank
time.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Top cosmetic surgeon from the Hospital of St. John and St. Elizabeth in Leafy, St. John's Wood. Thanks for your time. This is FUBAR Radio. Much more from Katie Price, and also a quick, lovely little bit of showbiz excitement from Caroline Millington before we let her get back to her busy, busy job at the Now magazine. There's a bit of a music now theme. We've got Snoop Dogg featuring Pharrell. Drop it like it's hot.
Bring it on.
Mark Dolan and Katie Price on FUBAR Radio.
Indeed, and as we always say, this show is very news reactive. When anything happens on the planet, you're the first to know on FUBAR, and huge news regarding that unending phone hacking trial that's implicated Andy Coulson and also Rebecca Brooks has finally started to deliver verdicts. And good news for Rebecca Brooks, who has been cleared, but Andy Coulson guilty in the phone hacking trial. Andy Coulson has been found guilty in the phone hacking trial, but his co-defendant Rebecca Brooks has been cleared of all charges, which is absolutely huge. That woman has been through hell for the last 2 years. Coulson, who edited the News of the World before becoming Prime Minister David Cameron's official spokesman, now faces prison after the jury returned a guilty verdict in dramatic scenes at the Old Bailey. Miss Brooks, who edited The Sun and The News of the World before promotion to News International chief executive, was exonerated after being cleared of conspiracy to hack phones, conspiracy to corrupt public officials, and conspiracy to pervert the course of justice. The verdicts represent only a partial victory for the police and prosecutors who have spent 3 years and tens of millions of pounds attempting to bring those responsible for the phone hacking scandal to justice. Mrs. Brooks had always denied any knowledge of illegal activities at The Sun and The News of the World, and after a seven-month trial, the jury accepted her version of events. We'll keep an eye on that story, but the bottom line is Rebecca Brooks cleared Andy Coulson with the prospect of going to jail, which is a personal nightmare. The guy's married, he's got kids, and he's going to be in clink. It's, you could only describe his career as a Greek tragedy, really, and what an appalling result that is there. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to lighten the tone, Katie and Caroline, because we're going to talk fashion. I'm obviously not particularly qualified to talk fashion ever in a gazillion years, but I will say that both of you are clothes horses. Katie, resplendent in your favourite colour of pink.
I always win fashion, always win. I'm always the best dressed. I'm always voted like fashion icon.
Good. Rightly so. I can hear your tongue in your cheek there, but here's the thing. You are very glam. And also, is it quite hard, given that you're pregnant, to find clothes to look good in and feel good in when you're expecting a baby?
Well, actually, I don't follow fashion, but I must say I have Roberto Cavalli leggings on, whatever the design of them shoes are that you read out, Caroline, top from River Island and bra from La Senza.
Boom.
Fancy.
Knickers. Caroline, that's a lovely detail. is that always the case? Is that just a lifestyle choice, al fresco?
Well, do you know what? With me...
Commando,
like,
I think they say.
Yeah, I never wear knickers, to be honest.
Right.
And obviously, unless I've got a short skirt on, but that doesn't happen often these days. But I don't know, I just don't like to wear knickers.
A lot of people don't see the point in underwear.
The thing is, I am obsessed with underwear, hence why I've got my thigh tattoo done.
Right, yes.
Obviously, if I'm wearing it in the bedroom for a man and stuff, then I've got all the gear and I have the idea.
So the underwear is more of a kind of sensual thing, and it's a kind of a stage outfit for your performance in the bedroom. But in
day-to-day... I do love underwear. I've got so much of it. But like today, why do I want to wear a cheese cutter? You know, great or whatever, knickers.
Caroline,
you can wear none.
On that bombshell...
I'm wearing knickers.
And so am I.
Do you always wear knickers?
Yes.
Well, always?
Nearly always.
Well, even if you've got leggings on, you'll get the full bum look. Unless you've got the G-string.
Depends what knickers they are.
Really, do you?
Yeah.
What about tracky bottoms?
This is not unusual. Most people do wear knickers every day,
Katie. And I'm looking, what about like tracky bottoms? Because men go commando, because you can clearly see. I love that.
Do I look like I ever wear tracksuit bottoms? Unless I'm playing netball or in the gym, no.
Really?
Yeah.
Everyone must have a pair. Do you not have a pair of tracky bottoms?
I do, of course, and I love it. And when I wear them, I just like, that's when I know I'm never going to meet a member of the public. I'm just at home, just looking scuzzy.
See, I told you, I'm chav then, because I do love my tracksuit and I wear it out. I don't care.
You know, there are certain branches of Tesco where there's a sign on the window and it says you are not allowed to come in here in pyjamas, because we've got people now who
get
are so
lost. Are you serious?
I swear to you, I'm not shitting you. We talked about it a couple of months ago on the show, and there are people who are so lazy, mums who do the school, and it's Chav Central if I'm honest, but they do the school run just in the dressing gown and then they go shuffle off to Tesco.
Well, I'm not
Tesco.
That bad. Like, if I wear a tracksuit, it's still clean and nice and bright. It's
correct.
Not like a chavvy horrible one.
You haven't slept in it.
No, it's not dirty. It's still clean and match my nails or something.
Just not
match
your knickers.
Well, I can imagine.
I don't wear them with that.
I'm imagining our guest on the phone is listening to this in horror, because she is a style guru from the online encyclopedia of style, the Bible of style, which is findmystyle.com. Fashion guru, Hannah Jean. Are you horrified by what you're hearing?
Give me help.
No, I'm highly entertained.
I need your help.
No, I think it's great. I mean, it's like style, the thing. It's whatever works for someone. And if, no knickers is for you, then no knickers is for you. It's fair enough.
Where do you stand on that? I mean, I think maybe, isn't it just habit? If you're used to wearing underwear, then you're comfortable in that. But if you maybe have a phase where you don't wear it, then you can't go back.
Yeah, I think yeah, it's what you used to. I mean, like, sometimes it does happen if you're out and about and you forget your knickers and you do it, then that's, like, different. But generally, yeah, I'm more of a knickers girl, I must say.
Have you ever done that thing with the underwear in your handbag when you're going out? What's that?
Only if you're not going to go home.
Oh, that's it. Isn't that the thing if you think there's going to be a hot date and you bring spare underwear? Can I be honest with you? I'm out of my depth.
I don't
do
one night stands, so
it's not the case. That's not how Katie Price rolls. Now, listen, we've got you on to talk about a lot of other very grown-up things, not just knickers, Hannah. But actually, as we were talking about people being a bit scuzzy, don't you think that's the challenge for all of us, is that to be able to go out, let's say in the morning, I know you just pop to the supermarket or you do the school run if you're a parent, and you're doing that thing, that lovely Mickey Flanagan, the comedian's got a stand-up routine about when you go out, but not out, like not properly out, but you are out. Isn't it quite an achievement to sort of be comfortable but still look quite good without still being in your pyjamas?
Yeah, no, it can be a bit tricky because sometimes if you're in a rush and if you've got kids and stuff, there's all sorts of stuff going on. And sometimes, like, yeah, sort of how you look can be the last thing on your mind. But at the same time, I always say that kind of like how you look and how you feel are quite closely connected. So if you go out kind of sort of feeling like you're not 100%, then that will affect you, I think, whatever you're doing. So I think it's quite important to always kind of look your best that you can in order to make sure that you feel good in whatever you're doing.
Do you think that accessories make a big part of an outfit?
Oh, 100%. You can, like, I mean, there's been loads of blog posts and stuff that have been done, like, in recently, sort of about how people have used, sort of, like, one item of clothing and they've worn it for, like, a month or, like, even a year, I think one girl did, and she just accessorised it in different ways and obviously made, like, all of her different outfits. So accessories definitely make or break an outfit.
And would you say, if you wore a cheap outfit but you have an expensive shoes in a handbag, makes the outfit come alive kind of thing? Or is it vice versa, cheap shoes and an expensive outfit? No, I'd say it's the other way around. Is that right or wrong?
I always think that, like, if you're going to invest in your wardrobe, then you should invest in, like, your shoes, your bag and your coat, because those are the ones that you kind of wear everywhere and they can go with, like, multiple different outfits. So I don't necessarily believe that you've got to spend a bomb on, like, a top or a pair of jeans or something like that, because they go in the wash, they can get ruined, anything can happen to them. Put on weight, lose weight, but your shoes, your bag and your coat, yeah, I'd invest there.
Well, in my case, the trouble is, say if I go to a premiere or something, I'm not always that lucky that anyone wants to lend me a dress or anything to wear. So I refuse to pay a couple of grand for a dress to be seen in it that I can't wear again. So I can't win in that situation where, you know, what would you do in my situation for that then?
I think the thing is, you've got to just look for something that's kind of, that obviously makes, like, the statement that you want to make, but that can be almost a bit nondescript, because there's so much stuff out there that, like, you can look at, but you don't necessarily know where it's from.
Yeah.
So I think it's just a case of being clever with your shopping and having a look and going for something that could almost, like, not necessarily classic or timeless, but something that people don't necessarily know. They look at it and they're like, oh, that's cool, but they won't know immediately where it's from. And there's so many independent designers and things like that you can go to that have got that sort of stuff. So
what would you say is a good look to, like Mark said, if you haven't got time to, if you haven't got time the night before to put your outfit together or whatever, what would you say is a good outfit that you can put on in the morning just to go out,
that you can throw on
but still looks good? What would be your typical outfit of that? Comfy but looks good, bit trendy, because we want tips here.
We need your help. We're desperate.
For a man, what would you do, and what would you do for a woman?
I always think, like, the best kind of, like, easy way to jazz up an outfit is having sort of, like, a or something like that.
What? Sorry, we lost you. Having what? We missed that. You just broke up with a crucial bit.
Oh, sorry.
Having what?
Sorry. Having a jacket.
Having
a
package.
A real easy.
A jacket.
Having a jacket.
Smart jacket. A good jacket.
Yeah. That is, like, a really easy way to just up the ante on an outfit.
I've got a really nice grey jacket that I've thrown over dresses because it kind of cools it down and over jeans and that smartens it up. And everyone's always like, oh, I really like your jacket. And it's just like a cheap high street jacket.
Yes. So I don't own a jacket.
Get some, you want it's a tuxedo, you want some black tuxedo jackets and then some softer like grey or pastels.
But then that's done up, I think. If I'm going to take the kids to school or I want to pop to the shop or something, I'm not going to put a blazer on or something.
But if you're wearing jeans and a t-shirt, which you throw on.
See, that's uncomfy. Then, jeans to me is uncomfy.
Really?
But that's because you've got your bump.
No, but even when I don't, I don't know what it is. I find skinny jeans, I mean, I wear them, but I find them uncomfortable. They're just tight.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because I'm at home a lot that as soon as I get home, I put all the baggy stuff on. But I like to be comfortable, but look nice.
Yeah, can you wear baggy clothes and look good ever is really the question.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Like, the whole kind of, like, pyjama-bottom style trousers that are in at the moment, they're
dead comfy.
Is that
the boyfriend jeans? The boyfriend kind of cut?
Yeah. Yeah, anything like that.
And what shoes would you wear them with? Flip-flops? Or is that a no-no? Or Uggs? Uggs are a definite no-no, aren't they? Uggs are
these things. Yeah, I'm not so keen on the Uggs.
So comfy.
I mean, you can wear them with some high tops or, like, sort of...
Yeah.
Chunky sandals or anything like that at the moment.
I think you need to come and raid my wardrobe. In fact, you'll probably come and clear it and say, let's start again.
That would be great fun.
Listen, before we let you go, can you give us an idea, Hannah, of what the kind of look is going to be this summer? Because we had the the editor of the Style magazine in the Sunday Times a couple of weeks ago, and she said there's going to be a lot of floral this summer. Where do you think we're going look-wise for the ladies and for the guys? Because I get the feeling for the guys, the hipster is about to expire and something else is on its way.
Yeah. I think it's definitely going to be a return. So, like, a bit more kind of, like, sharper lines and things like that. Obviously, print is going to stay massive. Whether it's digital or whatever, it's still, like, a really big trend. I think it's one that always looks good as well. You can wear something printed, it's just, like, a bit interesting, even if it's a standard cut or something like that. At the same time, obviously, it does date. So... that's just something to be careful with. But yeah, I'm a big fan of prints at the moment.
Is high-waisted stuff still in? I have to admit, I can't stand high-waisted. It makes you look like you've got a long bum. You see,
I
some of these girls
who
wear these jean shorts right up by their belly button, and I'm sorry to say, I think they're ugly. They make you look like you've got a long ass.
I agree. It's a real kind of mumsy middle-aged look, isn't it?
Yeah, but girls
do you remember
their ass cheeks hang out and it's rank.
Yeah. Do you know what it is? It's like, do you remember the jeans your mum used to wear in the 1980s? It's like that.
Yes,
isn't it?
And when I started Page Three, the way I used to wear my knickers right up, like high up, it's disgusting.
Trouble
I just
is,
don't get the high
it's
waisted.
It's people wearing trends that don't suit their body type.
You don't
follow fashion. You follow the fashion that suits your body type.
That's it. I stick to hips. Mate. Yeah. Them high-waisted stuff, it's long ass and I don't think it looks nice.
And there's always enough options of, like, every season there's enough options for everyone. So if you don't like that, there'll be another version, so you go for that one. I just think it's really important never to just follow trends for the sake of it.
That's probably what it is, because on me it looks absolute ridiculous.
Yeah, but on someone else, maybe they've got a different body shape. Because
that's quite good for
the 1950s look. If you're, like, proper hourglass, maybe it would work.
Everything seems to look good on Alexa Chung.
That was a random
She's
name.
A fashionista and a half.
Although someone needs to buy her a hamburger or something. Just like, I look at the pictures of that woman, I think, just eat.
But
just
I have to say, like with fashion models, they're obviously skinny for a reason. They're cloak hangers. They do hang different when you're smaller, I find. Like, where I've got big boobs, me wearing a polar neck or something, not that I'm saying I'm going to, makes you look fatter.
It accentuates,
you know what I mean?
So
it's true, you have to find clothes that fit your body right. And I know that more hipster is better for me.
That's why.
Because I've got big boobs. If I wear something high waisted, I look really short in the body.
And also, it's always good to wear a V rather than a circular t shirt.
Yeah, otherwise, you can call me Stump.
I tell you what, I'm learning. This is an education for me. We've got to thank you so much for your time. Hannah Jean, you've been a treasure trove of knowledge and information and inspiration.
And I'll get you in my wardrobe.
Excellent,
didn't it? She won't let you out. She'll trap you in her.
I've got my surgeon on this show. Now I've got my stylist.
We can find you at findmystyle.com. It's a real treasury
That's
for style.
Correct.
Findmystyle.com. Hannah Jean, thanks for joining us on Fubar Radio.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Wonderful job there from Hannah Jean. And also, it's parting is such sweet sorrow. We've got to thank Caroline Millington for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Oh, sod off, Caroline.
She can say that because they're colleagues. colleagues because
no,
Now Magazine is out today. It's the weekly showbiz must read, and Katie's exclusive column, which is always explosive, generally quite libelous, keeps the lawyers awake at night, and it has to be.
Have you got any goss before we go on anything?
All our gossip this week was from our. We had a big celebrity party last Tuesday.
I know, I couldn't make it.
Yeah, I know. Well, we'll go out when.
But
when
who
the
went? Name drop. Who
we
went?
We had
someone
Kingston
from
Road versus Rough Copy on the dance floor.
Really?
Had loads of Brazilian dancers, and they were getting down and dirty with them.
Boom.
We had Lee from 911 and his beautiful girlfriend Lila. There was quite a few people that came along. Liz McCarden, Lizzie Cundy, Michelle Dubry. It's a big Smart Girls Fake It campaign, so it's all about skincare and
great
Smart Girls Fake It.
Happy days.
Yeah.
Well, you're the real thing. There's no faking with Caroline Millington.
But there is with me.
Well, in a good way.
Yeah.
Caroline, thank you. We'll hopefully see you in a week's time. Now Magazine is out today. This one's for Katie. This is Sam Smith. How will I know?
This. It's brilliant.
Boom. Great track.
Mark Dolan and Katie Price on FUBAR Radio.
You are indeed listening to FUBAR Radio. So many tweets. I actually barely have time to get through them. I'm Shelley McDermott, listening to FUBAR Radio with Katie Price in Dublin. Love it. I love Dublin. Have you been to Dublin?
I have my best friends from Dublin.
Oh, rocking city. And Shelley, lovely to have you listening. Shelley McDermott, she could be my parents' arrival. She could be a second cousin of mine, for all I know.
Wow.
Because I go to Ireland, I'm related to everyone. It's just, it's one of those places.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Carla Robinson, listening to FUBAR Radio, Katie Price, in the office with the girls. Gosh, she's amazing.
Oh, thank you.
I'm very excited that that we're in people's offices. It makes me feel like we're
very part of the furniture.
That's it. We're the background. Rachner says, call me a snob if you like, but I would never go camping. I really like nice hotel with comfort. I agree with her there.
Do, but I'd still like a holiday where it's like a road trip.
James Matthews has been cheeky and wondered whether you could go extra far with your plastic surgery and try being a man for a while and see how that goes.
Well, I only have to buy a strap on, and trust me, I can act like a man because I did it with an ex.
See, that is a bombshell.
Ah.
I tell you what, and on that bombshell, let's talk fashion, because I've got a billion other tweets to get through, but we've got a fabulous guest on the line who's going to talk to us, about travel. Not fashion. I'm obsessed with fashion now. I've just become my main focus. Here we go. This is from an amazing story online. This is a quote. There were too many pebbles on the beach. Holiday company reveals its most outrageous complaints and some very bizarre special requests. You may have had to complain about room service or cleanliness of the pool on holiday. But what about the number of pebbles on the beach near your hotel? One distressed holidaymaker did just that after she claimed she had chipped her manicure while sunbathing on a trip to Mexico. Another woman complained that her holiday abroad was too hot, the food too spicy, and hardly anyone spoke English. Right, that tends to happen with abroad. But,
exactly.
It seems that some people believe their holiday company can control the weather. One couple demanded a full refund for their two-week trip honeymoon in the Maldives because it had rained one afternoon and they had been told it would be sunny day in, day out. Oh, another angry thrill seeker who had booked a trip to Universal Studios in Florida requested a refund for his trip as one of the rides, the Incredible Hulk roller coaster, had been too scary.
Oh my God.
Right, this just makes my blood boil.
I had a proper experience when me and Kieran got married in the Bahamas. We chose eggs, we thought it'd be hot.
Yeah.
We get there, not one day was it really that hot.
Oh no.
And
what time of the year was it? Can you remember? Was
oh
it autumn
God,
or summer?
I should know. No, it was January.
January. And but the weather's supposed to be pretty good then, is that right?
Yeah. And anyway, it was nothing like the brochure. And so, yeah, we did it through sandals and that because we thought, you know, easy, we'll just go there.
Reputable firm.
And the pictures looked amazing. But then when we got there and they said, right, this is where you're going to get married. It was on the beach. But if you actually turn the camera around, you've got all these skyscrapers all around you. It was nothing like what the brochure said.
Mm.
And we got absolutely stitched up. There was a photographer there who took pictures of us all week. And I still haven't received our wedding video or wedding photos, nothing from that holiday.
Gosh, so that sounds to me like more of a reasonable complaint.
And it was like an 1830s holiday rather than what you'd say a married couple holiday.
Yes, it was a bit noisy, was it? It was a disaster. Well, I wonder how we can avoid that from happening. And also, I wonder how we can stop these idiots from making irrelevant complaints. Let's speak to travel writer, travel guru, Lisa Francesca Nant, who has contributed to a variety of top publications and now broadcasting outlets. Lisa, welcome to FUBAR.
Hello.
Lovely to have you here. First of all, you must have listened with horror at some of those ridiculous complaints like the beach being too pebbly or the fact that it rained one afternoon in a hot country.
Do you know, I like the ones where people are just clearly a little bit stupid. I think it's rather mean of me, but it just makes me laugh. Like the man who, after booking a trip to Rome, Georgia, instead of Rome, Italy, demanded the company help win him back his furious girlfriend who dumped him because of it. And also the person who wanted to take the Eurostar to Miami after their flight to Miami was cancelled from London. Yeah. The Eurostar, I found in personal experience, confuses a lot of people because at least two people have asked me, when you take the Eurostar, do you see fish out the window of the train?
Oh my god.
It is so hard. I haven't seen any.
I also like the ones that deal with language as well. I actually grew up on the Costa del Sol, and we used to have such fun with the people who confuse the language situation because, for example, the word for chicken is only one letter different than the word for a certain piece of male anatomy. So, you know, one you'd like to order in a restaurant, the other you probably wouldn't.
What is the word?
The word chicken is pollo, P-O-L-L. Oh, and the certain piece of male anatomy has an A on the end of it instead of an O, so it's literally just one letter different. So we'd have brilliant fun with anyone who'd, you know, bless them, they'd want to have a go at the language, so they weren't being stupid tourists, they were being probably nice tourists, and go, how do I ask for chicken? You go, wow, I'm so glad you asked.
Well, this survey has come from Apodo, which is a very useful online search engine where you can go and get the sort of cheapest flight across a range of airlines, but you read about these complaints from the customers, and on the one hand it's good because it's nice that these days we've got the right to reply, and you know, if you've had a bad experience you can share it online. But stuff like TripAdvisor, where someone will give it one star because there was some mistake with the booking, it's harsh, isn't it? And you've got to feel sorry for, you know, hotels and travel companies, because a couple of bad reviews can really sink their business.
You can, and people don't, unfortunately, people don't read that with that in mind, and they'll see a couple of bad reviews and might not go somewhere. But I think what you've got to bear in mind when you read reviews like this is there's a certain amount of volunteer bias with people that are going to write reviews. The people that have had a brilliant time are not even thinking about it. They've gone away from their holiday and thought, oh, that was great, and, you know, had a lovely time, and they're going about their day and not even thinking about it. The people who are likely to complain about it are going to go on there and complain, and it's just such a shame because you're only getting that small, you know, sort of volunteer bias, that biased opinion. So whenever I read a TripAdvisor review, I do take it with a pinch of salt. It's very difficult though, isn't it? When they've got loads of people going, oh, I didn't like the pool, oh, it was too far from the beach, and oh, there were lots of pebbles. You think, oh, there were lots of pebbles on that beach, I'm not going.
One thing that does annoy me though, I will admit, one thing, is when you are on holiday, you know, you want to lay in, but then if you want to go by the pool, people have already got up hours before and put their towels on their beds and then they go back to bed. Now, I find that quite annoying.
I really hate that. And, you know, I've been to some hotels recently that ban it, and it's really good
they
when you see people leaving their towels and going off and thinking, oh, we can leave that for several hours and come back and get our bed. And you see these people almost like the pool police coming round and grabbing all their belongings and putting it somewhere else, and you go, ha, serves you right.
But I think that's a good idea, because you do want to lay in when you're on holiday. You don't want to have to worry about setting your watch to get up to put your towel there so you get a good position. But I think they should ban that.
And do you know what? If we're going to do pet hates, my one is being being moved on at breakfast. Because, I mean, the whole point is you want to have a lay-in, as you say. And you kind of... I don't like it when breakfast ends at something horrific like 9 a.m.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I have to say, in all the hotels I've stayed in all the world, I've never been moved on at breakfast. Maybe I've been... Maybe you're a particularly slow eater, Margaret.
I am. No, I spend hours masticating, and that's my problem.
But the thing about the weather and stuff... You know, it's the weather, it's nature. Just because it says it might be hot somewhere, I've been to the Maldives many times and I know it's gorgeous when it's hot. And sometimes I've been when it's supposed to be hot and it's not, but it's still a gorgeous place, you know. But people shouldn't really complain about the weather because there's nothing anyone can do about that.
No, and also do your research before you go. Chances are that, you know, if you want to go and lie on the beach and you're going in the middle of rainy season, it's not going to happen
exactly.
That much. But you're right, I've been to the Maldives before several times a year, and you just can't call it. And I think, you know, all the glossy brochures have all these beautiful pictures of white sandy beaches. But the thing about tropical beaches is they're tropical and gorgeous because they do rain a lot. And also they have a lot of bugs and stuff, which you don't realise until they start coming out at night. And they don't show those on the brochures. But they're not going to either.
Exactly. But I love it. Whether it's rained or shined in the Maldives, it's my favourite place.
You've always liked it. Do you use the TripAdvisor? Have you looked at that?
My brother does. He books all his holidays, him and his wife, and they proper follow that. And they always have good holidays, whereas I don't.
Accurate,
mine's always last minute. Where do I go? And, you know, I'll just go where
last minute holiday booking is, you're very much, it's a kind of Russian roulette, really, isn't it? Don't you think, Lisa?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you can get some really good deals at the last minute. And also, if you've got a lot of nerve, it's worth phoning up the hotel and saying, do you have any vacancies? And if they say yes, you go, great, I can try and get them down for a discounted rate at this point. I think in terms of booking flights last minute, you'll get the best deals if you book them a little bit in advance, you know, not last minute.
Holidays?
But with hotels, you can get some really good deals.
Do they still do holidays where, I don't know, you'd pay £200 for two of you for a week somewhere in a 3-star hotel, but you don't know where you're going? Do they
still do that?
And what do they call that? What do they call that now?
I don't know. Like lastminute.com do some sort of mystery hotel that you can actually, I forget what they call it, but yeah, they still do it. And you can still, you know, I look around for loads of deals in the various people I deal with on a week-to-week basis, and you can still get some absolute bargains as long as you don't mind sort of where you're going. But I think, I don't know, as I'm getting a little bit older, I've got a bit more discerning. You know, you were talking about camping earlier. I just can't be bothered with taking all that stuff with me. I want it all set out and nice, and I will go for the best quality hotel that I can afford, just because there's nothing more disappointing than getting somewhere and thinking, oh no, you know, is this mine?
You've obviously been to so many places. Now, from your advice and your expertise, where would you say is the best place and the best hotel from your experience to go and worth the money?
It's so difficult. I've been spoiled rotten because travel writers don't earn a lot of money, but we have a lot of perks of the job because people want us to go to their hotel. They want us to write nice things about them and they will, you know, make sure that we have the best time when we're there. One of the nicest hotels I've ever stayed in, the Intercontinental in Fiji is amazing. Mm. The Rayavadi Beach in Rayleigh Beach, Thailand, that's one of the most gorgeous beaches in the world with all those limestone craggy rocks, you know, the proper picturesque Thai beaches.
I'll have to get
beaches.
Your number. You'll have to advise me on where to go on holiday. If you say it's good, I'll have to try it myself.
Do you know what? If I'm that dedicated, I'll come with you and show you.
But it's tricky for me because I've got to take 5 kids as well. So
yeah, actually, maybe on second thoughts, I've just got one to bring. No, I think I'll back out.
I struggle with rooms. Honestly, I struggle with rooms because, like, family rooms, it's normally 2 adults and 2 kids. What do you do? It'd be 2 adults and, like, 5 kids. It's not easy.
And you change as well when you're travelling with children. I've got a toddler who's 2, and my travel habits have changed. And I thought I'd be slinging him on my back and going off to all these Far Eastern places like I used to. And to be honest, he's 24 months old. He's flown 24 times, but they've all been to Europe or the Canary Islands because I can't yet face the thought. He's such a bad sleeper. I can't yet face the thought of taking him anywhere long haul. And it's not just the flight. It's dealing with the time change when I get there. And, you know, what are you going to do about
that? It is, but you get over it. But it's like if you want to go on a safari or something, you can't all fit in one chalet or something. So what do you do? Leave your kids in the other one? You can't do that either. So it is quite tricky if you've got a big family.
It is quite tricky. I wonder whether we just keep it British this year. That's my top tip.
Especially
if you've got loads of kids, a nice little cottage somewhere, a rental cottage, because cottage rental has just exploded in this country, hasn't it? It's a big deal now, and you've just got to choose as many rooms as you need, and you're just like back to nature, simple life, don't you think?
It sounds nice, but, you know, and I love holidaying in this country, and I think I always love coming home. It's probably the best country in the world for me. The only thing you can't guarantee, and you've really just got to prepare for that, is the weather, and that's the only thing that can be really, really disappointing. If you've saved up all year, and this is your one holiday, and it's raining all the way, but, you know, that's what we deal with. We live in a beautiful place. You know, take a lot of board games, and I'm sure you'll be fine.
And that's what the Village Pub is for. Lisa, we loved having you.
Thank you.
Lisa Francesca Nand, travel writer. For absolute pearls of wisdom on all matters travel, go to her Twitter feed, which is at LFNand. LFNand stands for Lisa Francesca Nand. Speak soon, lovely one.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on FUBAR Radio.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
It's FUBAR Radio. I'm going to hit a few more tweets before the end of the show. We're going to also bring Jared Christmas in. He's on next. All of that's happening on FUBAR Radio. Here's a quick bit of Bob Dylan's Subterranean Homesick Blues. Now that was the inimitable sounds of Bob Dylan, Subterranean Homesick Blues, and I'm having trouble stopping my co-host and the next show kind of having chemistry and talking, because, you know, there's a lot of natural energy in the room, because you've got Katie Price. If you add into that mix Jared Christmas and Andrew Bird, I mean, that is a cocktail of human madness.
There's energy zinging around this room, mate. Chuck me in there. Get me in.
And even though Andrew Bird is the father of a six-week-old child, He's still, there's a spark of life about you.
Finds time to shave, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Just about.
Maybe not.
Cramming it in. I'm all right, thanks. How are you?
That's great to have you with us in the studio. You're on at one, very excited about the show. Do you want to tell Katie and I one thing?
One thing, well, we do a round called Bullshit Detector, where I believe Andrew's going to tell us a true anecdote and then a false version of that anecdote. And we have to analyse it and figure out which one's the bullshit.
Oh, I've got a good one today.
Yes. Have you really?
Oh, it was a good train journey. I figured this one out.
He's just on it. I can feel that Andrew Bird is bringing his A-game today. I can just smell it.
I'm bringing my C-game, so he better bring his A-game.
Yeah,
between you, we'll meet in the middle and do a B-game.
A B+. It's always a joy. Jared and Andrew are next. Katie, I can't believe it's over.
I neither can I, so I can't wait for next week already.
I will be there, raring to have you. Thanks for James Matthews, who's tweeted in, who has corrected me. He wasn't suggesting that you grow a penis, but Miley Cyrus. She probably will when she's plugging her next album.
My clitoris is fine, thank you.
She'll be riding that wrecking ball differently if she's got a penis.
And on that note, Katie and I are back in a week's time. I'm back tomorrow at 10. Jared and Andrew are up next here at MIA and Woo! Bad Girls. We know one of them.
This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.